Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
All right, bear with us. Bear with us because the technical stuff is still happening. Oh, hold on, Mike. You're on microphone number three now. Nope, you're on number four.
Hello?
There you go, number three.
There we are now.
Hi, Mike.
There we are.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Give me a moment to turn down my cans.
Turn down your cans.
Turn down my headphones.
I like this microphone.
Sounds good.
It sounds better.
Now, as we continue the evolution, that all started with the great screaming of last week.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds better, Rob.
What are you talking about with him?
Rob's giving me a hard time.
About what?
10 seconds into the show. He said it's the same microphone. I said for some reason it sounds better to me.
I think so too. Thank you, Buzz.
Mike has changed his location in the studio due to the fact that there are now touch screens all around me.
I've never looked up at you more.
There's never been so much touching.
And now, where I used to look at Mike for my direct line of sight,
right.
Now I see one, two, three... Three screens. That's cool because they all do stuff.
I can hide.
You cannot hide now.
I can hide on you.
No, you can't.
Well, if I slid over a little bit, I can. I've got an incredible range of motion in
Mike,
the studio.
Mike, the arms on these screens have an equally. Check out the Will Smith movie, iRobot.
Yes.
Same thing. These arms are robotic.
I've got a nice view of Jennifer Aniston right now. That I've never had before.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, see, I got two different Jennifer Aniston pictures.
You can share.
I've got this one that I look at.
Yeah, now see, frankly, I don't know how you configure it, but now that you've moved her,
yeah,
it's much better for me to see you. I can see you much better.
Oh,
much clearer, but you need her there, don't you?
I have a giant 8x10 of Jennifer Aniston. Well, actually, it's a point, you know, and if they ever found this, they would lock me up.
No, I don't think so.
No, they really would, because look at this thing.
Can you consider you to be a stalker?
I've never done anything with this, although I carry it with me every day.
Mm-hmm.
It originally started with the picture of her, not topless, but wearing a t-shirt you can see through in Vanity Fair.
Uh-huh.
That was added to the little plastic cover with a picture that somebody sent me of her at an award show where apparently it was very cold.
Yes. Right.
Then... I got sent the mother of all Jennifer Aniston photos.
Which is basically a see-through shirt that she's got on.
And she has a come-hither look on her face.
Yes, she does.
And it's a lucky charm.
It is a lucky charm.
It's what it is. And it always goes right there directly to my right, but... You're right. Now,
but I mean, I still can see your eyes.
No, you know what? Now you're making me choose between you and Jennifer Aniston.
Well, what do you have down? No, I think it's fine.
What if we got Jennifer framed and hung her on the wall?
You see, if you put Jennifer over there,
you like to caress.
No, it's not the same. It's just... I like looking at this picture of this broad. I've been looking at this picture of this broad when we do the show for the last 5 or 6 years.
So we framed it.
I understand.
No, it's got to be here close.
Where you can touch it.
No, not where I can touch it, where I can just move it.
Okay.
Okay, I'll put her there.
Is that inconvenient for you?
Well, you know, I'll deal with it, Mike.
Because as I've said, nothing really matters. I mean, I'm fine with whatever anybody wants to do. I told the engineers that. I don't do anything in here except talk into this microphone.
I will see how Jennifer reacts to the fact that she's been moved from the right side of the board now to the left side of the board to the plexiglass.
I might be getting a different chair. Now that I have all this room, because you might be amazed to know this, but this new configuration,
yes,
technically,
uh-huh. Don't say it.
Technically, I have room.
Yeah, you're not
to
gonna...
fully recline. Lazy boy,
fit right in there.
No, this I could put any chair in here right now. I could put any chair in here.
Mm-hmm. How about a prize for the first listener to bring down a chaise lounge? Like, you know, like one of those...
Well, see, a chaise lounge would be unfortunately too low. I wouldn't be able to even see above the... but, I mean, really, the possibilities are endless with the furniture. And we are probably due over here for a little update
in the
furniture.
Would
a hammock?
I need something that I need, the position I'm in right now.
Do you want, like, one of those old man chairs with a stick on the side? Would you pull the stick, the footstool comes up?
That might be also a little low, but I think... That really, since both of these chairs, as you can tell by the wear around the sides, have seen better days, that I might just select something that's a little higher and a little sturdier.
And
but right now, you know, my transformation's complete. I am as comfortable as I can ever be.
You have more leg room.
Hi, Rob.
This is like a commercial for the airline.
Yes.
Mike O'Mara now has, what would you say, Mike, 25, 30% more leg room now that you've moved?
I've got 30% more leg room. The only fear that I have is normally when I recline, the back of this chair has been up against the wall. And so that has given me a little more stability. There is a chance I could go over.
Wendell's learning CPR. So
that could be a nasty injury, too.
There is the chance.
It would be, but it's good. I'm just sort of peeking at you from the corner here, and I'm closer to Buzz Burbank, which is always nice.
All right, well, I'll put in the order for the chair right now, then.
Okay.
Hey, B.A.
Hey.
We need a chair for Mike ASAP. And, you know, I think...
Something maybe a little higher and a little sturdier, but also with reclining capabilities.
Much reclining.
Because really, technically, I could go sideways here.
Okay.
Just like this. Look at this.
Okay, hold
if
on.
I had the chair... Yeah. I could go like this. I could get my feet up this high.
Now, would you like something?
I could do this.
Now, but Mike, see, I told you, you can't put your feet up like that because then Rob and other people cannot walk by you.
Oh, but Rob comes right over there, and Rob only needs to get by me at the beginning and ending of the show.
Two words.
I could go under.
Two words, craftmatic.
And what? Here's the other thing. Look, you know what the other great thing is about this?
What?
Look at this. Look.
Look, he's on like a cat.
Look at how he sprung to my feet.
And how
the range of motion.
How often during the show do we ask you to spring to action?
We don't.
Or do you on your own?
20 years, never been asked.
Now we have the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rob's got a screen over there, too.
Now, do you want, like, an office chair?
Were those my headphones?
Mm-hmm, that's why I switched. B.A.?
Yeah.
So listen.
I think they were yours.
Not a chance. Not with the old babies. Not with the old... See, now we're doing something the audience really can't understand.
I'm just moving my ears around the microphone.
We're moving our head near the microphone to find out which pair of headphones gave us feedback.
Right.
See, Mike, nothing with these. That's why I went back to old reliable. Yeah, now we look like we're fag dancing, don't we?
We're dancing.
Hey, B.A., during the first break, please come in here and get with Mike, chop about whatever kind of recliner he would like.
Can I make an offer?
Yeah.
The Lazy Boy 10421. Excellent.
See, let me tell you about the Lazy Boy, although it's funny, it's too big to be in here.
It's way too big.
It's too big and also too low to the ground. I'll find something. Beth Ann and I will get together.
Hold on, and I know we've not started the show officially.
That's
the thing. I'm going to take a phone call, right? Because part of the new system now is that the old big clunky phone that I screamed about last week, the big gigantic Ma Bell thing, it's gone.
Ah.
And now everything is touchscreen. So in theory, if I just touch that, this caller is on the air.
And I hear the caller.
Are you there?
The guy
just hung up.
God!
We can't fix...
The first way to test it, and it's an idiot.
Well, we can't fix the callers.
Okay, hold on. I'll try another one. Let me try this one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
Now, hello, can you hear us?
I think this is a cell problem.
No, I can hear him.
Oh, hold on, Beth Ann. How can you hear do you hear anybody saying anything?
Yeah, you say hello, and some person says hello.
Oh, hold on.
We're not hearing.
Hold on. Here, let me try him now. Are you there, buddy?
I am here.
There you go. Got it.
And I hear a lot of...
Hey, I was thinking, Mike could go with the
Beth Ann's
setup.
Phone?
Get him a bed and a mirror on the ceiling. He can look at you.
What?
He could get an Elvis set up.
Beth Ann, are you still on the line?
Yeah, do we hang up now?
Yeah, hang up for a second.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, you guys could use a mirror to see each other.
Now.
He could have a mirror on the ceiling like Elvis did.
Iron lung.
No, don't do that. Come on. Everybody calm down.
All right,
come on.
The phone's working fine. Let's start the...
Let's calm down. Hey, now.
Let's start the show. No. Hold on.
We said let's start the show, and I said, hey, now.
But, Mike, I want you to know something. We didn't take this call last week, but there's some schmuck out there. I can't work with you holding your face in your hands like that.
Looking up at you dreamily. I'm just getting used to it.
Somebody actually called that didn't get through last week, but it said on the screen, where are the groaners? So here you go.
Huh.
Okay?
By request.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Jared Todd.
And I'm...
And the sale ends... Sorry about that.
My name is Wendell Hall.
And the sale ends... This Friday.
I always watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd.
How are you? We're going to check traffic in and around town right now, so let's go upstairs and see what's happening. Okay, thanks. We'll catch you a little later on. I wouldn't worry too much. I don't think the traffic is too bad out there. Anywho, meantime, on the Jerry Todd Show, that's all the time we've got.
I want to thank you for being with me this morning. Hope you've enjoyed the program. I know I have. Had lots of fun. Hope you have had too. Come back again. Join me for the Jerry Todd Show next time. Meantime, we've got more video for you. This time from the Grammy winner himself, Christopher Cross. And a song that I'm just crazy about. Wait till you see the video. It's called Ride Like the Wind. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye. Take care. See you next time. So long.
Jerry Todd.
Hey, having said that,
Jerry Todd.
What bald movie actor wears the most jewelry?
I don't know. Which bald movie actor wears the most jewelry?
Bling Rames. What medieval knight wore the most jewelry?
What medieval knight wore the most?
Bling Arthur.
Bling Arthur, yeah.
What medieval knight had a dented suit of armor?
Which one?
Ding Arthur.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh. Okay, well, we'll end with the strong one.
What rock band is made up of a bunch of guys with polio?
Which one?
Gimp Biscuit.
Oh.
That's the best I have for groaners
oh
today.
Oh, God.
That's, hey. Why they're, that's why they're groaners.
Hey, now.
Hey, now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now. Okay.
Here we go. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, we are. Now, let's see, how about Rob Stone?
True story, he was a neo-Nazi.
Lost him today.
One true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Just be whack.
And hold on, Rob, I can still get your guys. There you go.
Man, I wouldn't want to miss those bastards.
They had a nice weekend, all as well. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. the late Isabel Stanford.
Yeah.
And Mike, thank you for the call.
Yes, I felt I needed to.
And all the ships at sea, they are the Shameful Joy Boys, Don Geronimo, and Mike Schadenfreude, O'Mara.
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie. Hi, thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Monday, 07-12. 04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz. And thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode of this Monday, July 12th, 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK FM 202-432-1067. Okay. I can deal with this setup.
Okay. Are you happy with the way everything looks?
Yeah, it'll take me a break or two to get used to it. That's radio lingo, incidentally. Mm-hmm. Take one segment to get used to it. But yes, everything seems to be about as jury-rigged in order as it possibly can be.
Everything seems to be going well for the color cast.
And boy, do I have weekend stuff to tell you about. Socializing with the Spiewak, socializing with the Buzz. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, Anchorman, listen, I don't think, and I worry that I'm going to oversell it.
Right.
I've not laughed as much since the first time I saw Something About Mary.
Really?
Oh, that's excellent.
Now, maybe it's because I was dying to be entertained. Mm-hmm. Maybe
you went in with the right attitude.
Maybe it's because I think Will Ferrell is funny, but I actually went into the movie thinking that it was going to be like Dodgeball.
Okay.
I didn't think Dodgeball was that great. So I went in with an attitude of, well, I like Will Ferrell, but this looks like a one-joke movie.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't a one-joke movie.
No.
It's great.
Right.
He's great. There are so many scenes in that movie. It's fantastic. I love it. And I'll tell you about a family that was offended in front of us.
Oh,
a great moment in the theater.
That's always exciting.
Yeah. Is Mike? Did you tell me my boy's here?
He's waiting in the green room.
Bring him in here for a second.
While we're waiting for him to come in, I want to say happy birthday to Elizabeth O'Mara, who turned 7 years old yesterday.
Hey!
And a big 7-year-old now. And happy birthday to Elizabeth. Yeah. And now both birthdays are in the books
for the year.
The 9-year-old and the 7-year-old. There. Right. And now it's on to 18.
Good luck with forward. That.
Speaking of 18, 19-year-old,
there he is. 19, and he likes it. There you go. Grab microphone number 4. Okay. Now that's the one. Hey, what's happening?
Nothing. I was checking out the new room.
What do you think?
Nice.
You're quite a symphony in pink today.
I told you.
I'm wearing pink hat and pink shirt.
Yeah. Bart, what did I tell you before you left the house today? I said, expect to get your balls busted, and I swear to God, I didn't say anything about your outfit to Uncle Mike.
What is the, since the configuration of the hat is L.A., an L.A. pink hat.
It's an L.A. Dodgers pink hat. He's also wearing a pink button-down shirt, and underneath, my 19-year-old heterosexual son has a My Little Pony t-shirt on.
Okay, that's gay. But pink is actually in. It's a hot color for men this year.
Yeah, pink is the new black.
That's right.
Really?
But let's get back
to... I'm securing my sexuality.
But let's get back to the My Little Pony thing.
Yeah.
Did I tell you, and Bart, you know, I swear to God, I didn't tell Buzz, I didn't tell Mike, I said the first two things you're going to say is why are you wearing pink and that it's gay, the My Little Pony's gay.
I don't really care.
Where did you where did you acquire the My Little Pony t-shirt? I would imagine. What's that?
Iron-on. I made it.
Oh, you made it yourself?
Why do you...
I went the extra effort.
Why do you embrace My Little Pony? Why is that? Why do you like
I'm
that?
I'm not going to shun them. I enjoy them. Ponies enjoy them. Combing their hair.
Ponies of all colors.
Making them prance around my room.
Okay.
So listen.
He's gotten big.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gigantic. Yeah. What do you know? 6'1"?
6'1", 6'2".
6'1" or 6'2". He said to me today, and this is not like when he was a kid, when I would treat him like Cody Gifford. You know, when I'd say, okay, you want to be on the radio with Daddy? Talk about you going to play your T-ball games? Mm-hmm. He said to me, hey, Dad, I'm coming by today. I said, well, come on by. What time are you coming by? I don't know. I'm just coming by just to say hi to everybody.
A cameo.
So here he is now making a cameo, paneling.
A walk-on.
19 years later. And even to look at him, even with the long hair and the pink hat and the My Little Pony shirt, I really, and Bart, you know this, I couldn't be prouder of him. He's turned things around.
Thank you.
Turned it around. I mean, last year.
Including the hat.
Oh, that's right. In this studio, wear your hat like a ball player.
I'm wearing it like the catcher.
Okay, that worked when you were like 5. Now in this studio, turn your hat around. You got to do it like
a
secret.
I think it might wreck the look. Yeah.
I saw one of those pink hats. They are being sold regularly.
Yeah.
In those hat stores.
They're hot.
Do you think I had the special order? No, I bought it in the store.
Well, since you specially made the t-shirt, you know, I wasn't sure.
That would have been kind of painstaking.
Yes, it would.
The L.A. on there.
So he had an exciting freshman year at college.
Cool.
My son did. He came just within a nun's.
We know what a nun's
very
is.
Very close. You know, he came very close.
Very close to getting tossed out on his royal ass, but he pulled it together, got his GPA up.
That's it.
And now we're refocused on the second year. And let's just do a recap here. What's the key for the second year of college? What's the best thing you've done thus far?
I haven't gone to college for the second
year. No, but what's the best thing that you've done to prepare for the second year?
To prepare.
I got a job.
No, I'm ecstatic about. It's what about your schedule?
Oh, no Friday classes.
No, but come on. Besides that,
no classes before 1.
There you go. All the classes.
And I could tell him from my experience that was it. My first Monday class for 3 years was 6:30 in the evening.
It's a realistic goal
because it killed him last year.
Yeah.
He loaded up his schedule. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, classes like at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m. So in theory, he'd get everything
you do
done.
You do the opposite.
Well, he's learned that lesson
all to the end.
Do it all. Wednesday is the best day to do your classes. Your morning classes.
I have no morning classes.
No morning class, but Wednesday was always good because Monday, morning classes Monday are the worst.
Yeah, doing.
Because Monday's the worst day of the week.
Oh, I know.
Yep.
So he turned it right. Yeah, he knows. We have experience with that. Trust me, he knows.
I know it too well.
He knows.
By 6:30 p.m. on Monday, that was a tough enough class to make it to.
So he got his stuff together at school, came home, got a job.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we had what I thought was a very grown-up conversation when you got home from work. And I said, what'd you do today? Work. And he said, how was it? He said, worky.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I get money.
Yeah.
I said, there you go. Money for worky. That's the lesson I've been trying to get you to understand.
That's what it's about.
Since you were a baby. There you go. Money equals worky. Worky equals out of housey.
Yeah.
Out of housey.
My nephew, who's about the same age as Bart, you know, has a job up in Maine this year as a landscaper. And I've heard the reports. Loving it. Loving every minute of it.
It's work.
And it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your update for everybody? You're here. What's the update? What's happening in your life?
I have nothing going on.
What are your current passions?
My passions. I love poetry. I love...
No, no, don't be Ron Burgundy. Stop it.
My Little Pony.
I do like My Little Pony. Care Bears are quite high on the list.
All right, who's the latest hip-hop artist that you're trying to get me into?
I've been trying for maybe 6 months now to get you into Kanye West, and you refuse.
Don't say I refuse. I listen. I like him. I like his stuff. Haven't I called you when I've heard a song on the radio to say, hey, I'm listening to the same song?
Yes.
Yeah, right? See, I'm trying. I'm baby stepping to try to get into this crazy hip-hop that you like so much.
All the kids like it.
Yes, they do. He's crazy for
it. All the youngsters like it.
They seem to.
I'm trying to get you into the Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, and you refuse again.
What's the Me First and the Gimme Gimmes?
It's guys from a couple different bands that do all covers.
See, I don't know. You know,
retro? What's new retro? What's popular looking back? Because I know, like, at least last year, a lot of the kids were listening to older music.
I'm still listening to a lot of Journey. Point for that.
Is that still popular?
For me,
for
yeah.
You, okay.
Billy Ocean is huge right mm-hmm. now.
Really?
I like him.
I mean, 80s music is hot.
I'll say that he is my kid. Mm-hmm. He does like all kinds of music. Who do you like right now in country music?
I'm not really listening to country right now.
Oh, what happened? Well, who's that guy you got me to like? Oh, Kenny Chesney.
I love Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney.
Shirt, same problem.
All right, who's your favorite 80s band right now?
That's perfect. Thank you.
That's a big Foreigner.
Foreigner?
Yeah. Foreigner's up there.
Yeah. Who's your favorite 70s band?
I could go with Foreigner again in theory, couldn't I?
Yeah, you could, but just pick a true 70s band. Come on.
Journey?
Journey would... All right, how about the 90s? Who's your favorite 90s band?
Paula Abdul.
I thought Paula Abdul was 80s.
No, it's like 89, 90. Thank you, Dad. Right. I appreciate it.
That was just a little interference.
Welcome to the club.
I don't know what's coming through.
Because, you know, in real life, if we were in the car and a Paula Abdul song was on...
It straight up was on, I swear to God, I'd tell you.
You wouldn't say to me, Dad, turn that off. Like that's one of the
songs. Do you want me to go get one of the mix CDs from my car? I have Paula Abdul in my car right now.
Do any of your pals know that you're on the... I mean, did you hip any of your pals to the fact that you were going to be on the show today? I was just wondering whether that has changed. You normally kind of roll in here, and it's not that big a deal. But now that you're...
My friend Kyle asked me what I was doing. I said, I was stopping by. I don't know what...
Right.
I don't know.
He's into it.
Yeah, I know.
He won't let you know that, but he's into it.
I know he is.
And it's what? Yeah.
You're into being in here.
It's a fun job.
And I love having you here.
You let me down. You know, you're a year after letting me down. You know, for years, I was preparing for you to take this seat over when you turned 18. And, you know.
Well, he's pushing me with that piddling college thing. So,
so I have to wait 4 years.
What's your new major?
Communications.
Ah, there you go.
There you go.
That'll get me places.
You found that softball team, huh?
Yeah. These glasses are awesome.
There you go. Communications. Put your chairs in a circle, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have a discussion of the movie we watched last night.
Yes, he did. So, are you aware of the fact that we're counting down at home until you go back for the second year of college? That we're down to less than 5 weeks now?
Oh, I know. I have a calendar in my room.
Oh, so it goes both ways.
Yes.
How are things going in the ongoing feud between you and Mom?
They're going excellently.
I understand that you had a
swimmingly.
You had a good, very calm, almost truce weekend with Mom.
We just didn't speak a lot.
Do you find that wearing pink softens her a little bit?
No, I think it makes her angrier. Like a bull almost. Wow. Instead, pink.
like a bull.
He's gotten better, you know. He's always been a sharp kid, but I like the repartee here. This is good.
So, because here's what's happening in our house. I love Bart. Frieda loves Bart. He's our entire life. You've heard him grow up on the show. Frieda still has the same expectations of Bart as she did when he was a little kid, when you could, you know, tell a kid, do something, and they would actually do it.
Right.
My expectations of you... Bart, let's just do a brief recap for everybody. What are my expectations for you, really?
That I go to work.
Right. Minimalistic. I have
my
moved...
The door to my room closed.
I have moved past, you know, the small stuff like... I noticed the tire on your car is about to fall off, or all of the stickers on your car are outdated, or your room is a mess.
Now, the stickers on my car are not my fault, because Mom ordered them again, and I haven't gotten them.
Okay.
But I do have some stickers for you in my car.
Why do you have my stickers in your car?
I picked up the mail a long time ago, and I meant to give them to you like 2 weeks ago.
Soon you'll
3 months ago.
Weeks ago.
So, Frida sweats the small stuff with Bart.
Not kidding. Really, you really need to get that.
Okay. And I don't sweat the small stuff. I sweat the big stuff. And I have found since I lowered my expectations, that was exceeding my expectations. Being as, 7 months ago, and I didn't talk about this on the radio.
But what is the secret?
7 months ago, we had to sit down in our kitchen. Do you remember that discussion? It's just you and I when we were discussing if you were going to go back to college, if you're going to. And at that point, really, he was like one step away from flunking out of college. Now, here's a kid that got.
Still the same step away.
I know you're not the same step away.
My grades have not changed since that point.
Yeah, I know they haven't. But
you're different.
But what does that tell you going into your sophomore year? You a newfound energy and stuff like that.
Step it up.
Are you? But you're looking at me in a very smirky way.
Uncle Mike, he knows the deal. Trust me, he knows.
If it doesn't work, I'm out of the house. That's the option.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yes, it would. And he knows.
But in that case. How you doing, Rumi?
Sorry, I apologize. Sorry about that. But I'd have to clear it with him first.
No, there's no way I'd let you live with Uncle Mike.
Why? Too swinging bachelor.
I don't do the Rumi thing.
No,
I live on my own.
Uncle Mike is antisocial.
I am very antisocial. I do not, and I've had a lot of friends of mine who are single who say, you got that big house, and I don't do roommates.
And besides, that's not going to happen because you've got your killer schedule. You know what you've got to do now this year.
In theory, correct.
But you're going to do it.
Yeah, it'll be
right.
Fine.
You're going to do it. Otherwise, you're going to be living in a box.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the famous disc jockey whose son is on the news because he's living in a box down by the river.
That's a van by down the river.
I know, but in this case, it could be a box down by the river.
You won't be able to afford a van.
You won't be able to. All right. Now, listen, you want to be in the Fantasy Football League again this year?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. You're in. And... that's it. Any other things you want to say, as long as we're on the air here?
Not really.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming by.
Sure. Anytime.
Anything you'd like to say? We used to say this to Don's brother. Now that you're younger.
Don't put him in this category.
But I think he'd probably be able to step up a little bit more. Any words of wisdom for our vast listening audience, something you could share with them?
Bart?
I know I'm putting you on the spot. Take your time. I know you're an intelligent guy.
Wait a second. Pat.
Pat.
Think about it.
I think the reason I throw this to him, because I think he can probably take it and skew it to a younger demographic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
here we
it.
Go.
I'm gun padding.
Okay.
Youngsters. Live hard, die hard.
Oh, that's what I want to hear.
Wow.
That's just what I want to hear.
Wow.
That's good.
I liked it.
Hold on. Let's go home. Let's see if Mom happens to be listening now.
No, she's not at home.
We're sorry. The person you are calling does not wish to talk with callers who block their number.
Oh, how do you know she's not at home?
She made me sit at home for a while. She might be home now, but she made me sit at home for a while waiting for some dude to check out her carpet.
Oh, that carpet guy. Man, he was late today.
He was late and he said, dude.
No reason to make fun.
Dude. I just like dude. Yeah, dude, I do.
You're jealous.
Dude, I am totally jealous.
You're one to comment on what I'm clothed in.
What do you mean? I was going to mention that. Yeah, I'm wearing peach.
Hi, darling.
Bully and shit du jour.
Yes.
Darling, have you heard Mr. Big Mouth here?
I just heard the last few minutes. I am sorry I didn't tune in from the beginning. I would have loved to hear the revelations because...
Bart, don't do that.
Wow.
What? Don't do
that. Nothing, he's fun.
He's
poking a little fun.
He's doing
a dance.
He's doing devil horns and doing a dance right now.
It was the charging bull.
Charging bull.
Charging bull.
She sees pink.
What did I do?
What, baby?
Why is he doing like a Sacramento dance when I call him?
She's sharp. She knows what's going on in here.
No, I was just talking about how happy we are to have him home and how you sweat the small things and I try to sweat them.
You're saying how happy we are to have him at home?
I told him we're counting the days, and he said
he has certainly a ball of sunshine today.
He said he has a calendar as well. So everything's not
a bad thing necessarily. My folks made it indelibly clear to me when I got to college age that, I was there during the summer, but they really were digging their life when I wasn't there. So that's not unusual.
You bet your ass.
You bet your ass. I'm living my life when you're not around.
Well, life's coming
again. Humbling now.
Of course. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're living your life. Explain that one to me.
I'm enjoying it when you're not around also.
It's mutual.
Okay, I got
that's
you.
The way it works.
I know that.
And sometimes when you are around.
Hey, that's nice.
That's a very nice thing he just said.
And with me as well. And with me as well.
He doesn't require a tremendous amount of translation.
Got you. All right, bud. So anyway, here he is. And, you know, he's wearing the pink shirt, and he's wearing the My Little Pony thing, and the guys all brought it to his attention, and he's unfazed.
Yeah. Did he tell the story of being yelled at on the streets of Ocean City for his ensembles?
No, he didn't. No, and I don't know this story. How come I didn't hear this story?
Well, I decided to go out really preppy one night, so I wore a pink button-down with a sweater vest and a suit jacket.
And what you do with
the button-down shirt is... I learned this from TV. You roll the button up down shirt like over the suit jacket.
Right.
They said it on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. It's called zhuzhing.
Zhuzhing.
And it makes things fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, three times now I've had to hit the fag button, and you're my son. I mean, and I'm okay if you're gay, but I've had to hit the fag button.
So
three
sorry,
times.
I'm securing my sexuality. I could prove it to you, but I don't think you want to see that.
I don't think even Queer Eye suggests wearing a pink ribbon around your wrist.
Okay, I work the ribbon counter where I work, so I occasionally pick up scraps and wear them.
Isn't that dressing like the guy on Outkast a little bit, too? Right?
Yeah, a little bit, and a little bit like a... Who's... Kanye.
Kanye.
He dresses like that a little bit?
Yeah.
He does. All right,
but
baby.
But nobody's really willing to go with My Little Pony yet.
I see you're making your own state. It'll catch on.
And then wait a minute. Tell them the rest of the story.
So I was dressed like that, and I was waiting to cross the street, and... A passing car happened to yell something along the lines of, you effing...
Right,
bag.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, see?
And,
that's cruel.
I cried for 2 hours. I walked the beach.
Honey, is that the story? Is that the story? Just did someone call them that?
Yeah, even passerby.
Oh, and I had a t-shirt on underneath that said, Real Men Heart Unicorns. And I had a picture of a unicorn.
Listen, I was,
all right.
I'm secure enough. Well,
if you can survive that, that builds character.
Here's the thing. I'm secure enough in my son I don't care if he ends up being a guy that likes getting it on with dogs. You know, whatever floats his boat, I'm fine with that. I think this is a phase now where he's dressing in ways that he knows will draw attention to himself. It's okay.
Well, perhaps he is mocking the entire societal problem we have with sexuality and all.
Perhaps I just like My Little Pony.
I don't think he's that deep, Mike.
No, that I don't buy for a second.
Man, wait till Christmas.
Well, I had one at school.
You had a My Little Pony?
And hold on.
I broke it. Ripped all of its hair out.
Hold on, give me... I'm just going to sell you out totally. Give me that thing you keep your keys on.
Yeah, I saw that too. Boys or what?
Hold on, give it to me. Let me read this now. This is the thingy. Oh, no, come on. Give me the whole thing. Here it is. The thingy that he carries. You know how kids carry their keys on these things?
Lanyard.
It's called what?
Lanyard.
A what?
Lanyard.
Like a canvas strap.
It says, boys are stupid. Throw rocks at them.
It's a good course of action, I found.
It's true.
I've heard this.
See, what scares me the most is when there's silence.
When there's silence, we all just kind of go.
That one confuses
me. Would normally be filled with, okay.
And let's not even.
What are you doing Friday night?
Let's not even forget. What is it? The rainbow sticker you have on your car?
I have no rainbow sticker on my car.
No, I put
a sticker on a friend's car that had a rainbow flag on it and said, I'm so gay, I don't even think straight.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
My friend's car, not my car.
There you go.
If you want to go ahead and bash, I went to a gay club in Myrtle Beach.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's drag night. I had a good night.
They grow up so fast.
I was asked to dance, and I had to politely refuse.
Who'd you go with?
A couple friends from school down in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, Shelby, she's a nice girl.
He went with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby. Well, a girl who brought her boyfriend.
Yeah.
But that's okay. As long as a girl isn't... No, there's nothing wrong with anything.
It's not like there's a guy gay club. It isn't everybody gay club.
What's that?
Right. It's a drag club.
No. It was drag night at a gay club.
Drag night at a gay club.
And gay just means happy.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is the one area of Bart's life I support.
I should say this is the one point of Bart's life that makes me want to put my head down the toilet.
And you're okay with it.
I am. I'm kidding. He's okay. No matter what, you know. I think he's goofing around.
He's having fun with life. That's the impression I get.
This morning, if he were truly gay, his room would be neater.
Mm-hmm. And you know that I've asked him seriously. I mean, seriously, I said I would have no problem, but I just want to know, are you gay? And then he starts laughing and says, why would you think I'm gay?
Stop. Why would you think that?
Because you have on, what about when you had that slap wrist?
The slap bracelet. That is a staple from the early 90s.
A slap bracelet, which even I remember kids having in the 90s.
Yeah, so I liked it. It was pink.
He's at a status store and he found it, but it's pink. And that's why
he's got the sense of humor that I find common in today's younger generation. And I like it.
You know him so well.
Different colors mean different things. I do.
Well, he does. He's dating a member of the younger generation.
Well, no, but I base it on the restaurant and people that come in. I think the average age usually about 22, 23.
Bart, let me just ask you this. Would you consider yourself to be a metrosexual?
No.
I'm a man's man. He's not neat enough. He doesn't look good enough. He's too sappy.
I'm a man's man who has
not groomed enough.
Be man enough to admit he likes My Little Ponies.
He reminds me a lot of kids roughly that age. I know.
Never felt prouder.
He's having fun. He's mocking everything. That's what he's doing. It's great.
Gosh, look at all these phone calls.
It's not even questioning authority, Rob. It's just kind of like making fun of the whole thing. I admire
what he's doing. You want to take some of these phone calls, Bart?
Let's do it.
All right, baby. I'll see you tonight.
Bye.
Love you.
Frieda. Bye, Bart. Love you, sweetie.
Bye. Okay, here we go. Here's Scott calling from, I guess, Portland, Oregon. Scott? Oh, hold on. Let me push the button. Come on. There you go. Scott.
Hello, gentlemen.
New touch screen. Excuse me, Pinky. Scott in Portland. Hey, Scott. Yes. What's happening?
Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
We're doing great.
Buzz, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, Bart, I got to tell you, man, I'm 22 years old. I'm a pretty free-swinging guy, but son, that is some strange, strange stuff.
You're just jealous.
Cool strange, though.
You're jealous because I'm pulling down the women. Let's be honest.
Getting it done.
Yes, you're getting it done. Okay. A pink hat on and a pink shirt with a My Little Pony t-shirt.
Who are they going to come talk to? The guy who looks like everyone else in blue jeans and a button-down that's white, or the guy who's wearing pink?
Well, I think...
Me, baby. Me.
Okay. Oh, well, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just been explained to us.
Maybe
he's doing the look to get chicks.
Makes sense. Maybe it has. All right, I'll try this one. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah, well, you're on the air with us. Hi.
I'm on the air now?
Yes, have you figured it out? Go ahead, sir.
Well, I just want to know one thing. Don, when did your son start taking fashion tips from Jim J. Bullock?
See, Barty, but the thing is...
I'm sorry, sir, that joke is far past my time.
See, he doesn't... Time, you would have to move it up. Would you get it if he said Richard Simmons? Okay, see, now
he's laughing.
Now he gets it. Okay, get out of here. Get out of here, you dope. Here's David in Sacramento. David.
Hey, Barty, you think you'll pledge in a fraternity?
I got a couple bids, and I decided not to pledge.
I heard, Mike, you were a SIGEP, right?
I was a SIGEP, yeah. Honorary SIGEP. I joined right before I left Marist College.
Excuse me, guys, we got a break, but I have one call here that I want Bart to take. Here's Christo from New York.
Hi, John?
Yes.
It's Cristal.
Cristal.
Hey, Bart, what color is your hair?
Right now it's brown. I almost dyed it blue for a while, though.
Oh, gracious. What are you doing tonight?
Hey, we got a real one on the line here now.
I'm hanging out with a couple friends. You're welcome to come along.
Are they all boys?
No, it's a girl. But
did you say you almost dyed your hair blue?
Yeah.
Little pony blue?
What happened to the cornrow thing?
I'm getting that done tomorrow. My hair wasn't long enough 2 weeks ago, and she said come back in 2 weeks.
Well, and then
I'll have cornrows.
I also get this call on Saturday night. Hey, Dad.
That new parlor was closed.
I get the call Saturday night, 9:30. Hey, Dad, I'm in Georgetown. I said, fantastic. What's happening? I'm going to get a tattoo. I said, whoa. We got to talk about this. What tattoo? A lightning bolt on my inner bicep.
Yeah, well, at least it's not My Little Pony.
I almost got a Are You Speedwagon Rules, but I thought I might regret that one.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. That's using the old noggin.
Hey, Bart.
What?
Do you like salad?
Oh, get out of here, gay guy.
I love salad.
Would you stop?
I don't even know what the connotations of that one are.
Yeah,
good
hello
for you, Bart.
Hello, Toss Salad. The Toss Salad man, Chris Rock?
That's a bit too far for me. I'm just going to say, yeah, I love salad.
I'll go out on a limb.
Oh, dear. Oh, my, oh, my.
I've seen you eat many a salad.
Here's Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, I think it's great. Bart's an individual, and, you know, Frieda taught him to be a sensitive male, and now he is. Bummer.
I am a sensitive kind of guy. Ladies, if you're listening, I cry all the time. And I love to listen. So if you ever want to hang out.
You're killing me. Get out of here.
All right,
there is Bart Burgundy, everybody.
Reading my book, apparently.
What?
Do you want me to stick around to talk to you after?
Yeah, I'm going to go to break. Yeah, go back to the producer's room for a second. All right. Hey, love you.
Yeah, I love you, too.
All right, see ya. Bye-bye. Yeah, I'm cool with him. I think he's a funny kid. Yeah.
He is. I will seriously say, he reminds me of the kids that are his age, the ones that really crack me up. The kids that have a great sense of humor.
No, and he knows what
he's doing. He has daddy's sense of humor.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. That's why even when I bust his balls, I look at him walking out of the house wearing all pink, and I think, I know what he's doing.
Oh, so do I. And it's hysterical, and it's great, and the aforementioned, you know.
I bet it's working.
He's right. The women will be drawn to that, as opposed to the guys that are like, going,
yeah.
Because really, you know, you get that, readers. Or you get,
So that's my son.
There he is.
I knew he was coming by. I didn't know he was coming by now. There you go. Enjoy it. He'll be on after he either flunks out of college and I kick him out of the house or comes back next year to say he's looking forward to us next year. So that's the latest with him.
Great appearance.
So wonderful.
Now the weekend, we got a break.
Oh, before, I just want to say hi to my friends at Aptus. There are a bunch of guys that invited me to a party, big golf tournament that I couldn't make today. I wanted to say they're all my good friends out there. Formerly Planet Gov, they're Aptus, and I missed the party, and they're probably so bombed right now they can't even tell. But
yeah, but you said it, so that's good.
That's it. I'm done. I wanted to be there. I really wanted to be there.
Got a break here. We will be right back.
Broadcasting WKSFM in Athens, Washington.
No.
Not officially gone yet.
What happened? Because I hit the green button.
You remember, we still have to do these.
You know what that is?
What do we have to do?
Operator error.
Oh, but you're gonna get
not
it all
everything
out.
Is touch screen yet. The some stuff is new. Still old school. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Stations, I hope you didn't break.
Now we're all set. We're ready to go.
Okay. So now we'll be right back.
Oh.
No, I did that one on purpose.
Oh, okay.
I did that on purpose. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You don't forget a thing like Siamese twins.
I believe they prefer to be called conjoined twins.
And hillbillies prefer to be called sons of the soil. But it ain't gonna happen.
The Don and Mike Show.
Goodbye, the Don and Mike Show.
Bye. All right, so Bart has left the building on his way out.
Not before he pointed out that he was taller than me. Damn it.
Well, I've been hearing that longer. You're taller than me, so I've been hearing it longer than you have.
Yeah,
I hear it every day. Hey, Dad, how's it down there? How you doing, Dad?
I think he's a little closer to 6'2 than 6'1.
I sure do love that kid, though. I sure do love him. I tell you, anybody out there, if you love your wife and you have a kid, hang in through all the crap. Hang in through the crap, because eventually it'll be worth it.
Too late.
Mike, I wasn't directing that at you. It's more like a self-introspective look at myself, saying I did the right thing, Frieda did the right thing. We're all happy on the other end of it. We're all fine.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to have a kid that age, because I know it's a strange age. It's a very, very strange age.
Hello?
You just turned mine off and then you turned yours off.
I'm on 1 and you're on 3?
I think I'm on 3.
But see, here's what's screwing me up. The sticker on the back of your mic says 2.
Let me get rid of that.
Okay. So now I got it. Mike is number 3, which actually is a step up from your number 2.
Yes, but technically, remember, I've always been number 2.
But on our show, I'm talking strictly biologically.
Right.
There's number 1, number 2, and number 3. You'd rather be number 3.
It's almost flattery.
Than number 2.
Yeah, I don't like to put stickers on me.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you, Bart, for coming by. Yeah. I like sharing him with you for a second. I'm very proud of him, and he's my best friend.
He's turned out great. He's going to be okay.
Yeah. The weekend, Now, I had the opposite end of the spectrum as well with kids. As I went to Rob and Carrie's fantastic yard sale on Saturday, Frida and I loaded up the truckster and went out to Robbie's.
Thanks for buying so many things. I know it was two loads, but I really think you got a lot of great deals.
No, not a thing. And we pulled up, as soon as Frida and I pulled up in front of Rob's house, I said, look at him. I said, if it was cold, there would be steam coming off the top of his head.
Not a happy man.
Not my best day, no.
Drove past Rob's house, and I see him pacing and staring and pacing and staring.
When you arrived, were there hordes of individuals picking through the material?
Mike, it was like going down to San Diego, down to the border, where somebody says there's a hole in the fence.
Wow. Oh, yeah, and what's not to like when you have all thousands of people just coming in and pawing through your stuff that you say, will you give me a quarter for this? And they say, how about 21 cents?
Oh, one of those deals.
Yeah, and it was just bad.
Was there a particular item that was the bargain of the day? Was there anything that you said goodbye to that you didn't want to, you know, let go?
There's one thing I tried to get rid of, but she stayed the whole
time. Oh, God.
So I said to Frida, look how miserable Rob is. And I went over to offer a little, compassion to say, hey, I know what you're going through. And I would just get stuff. Rob would just mutter stuff under his breath. Like, at one point, I think it was muttered, I told her I'd just give her the money if she would just throw the stuff away.
Wow.
And then he said at one point, well, I said, that's good. Dick her about a quarter. So there was the Rob tension happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it was over, and I think everyone left happy.
Really?
A lot of friends.
And a lot of money, I'm guessing.
No, see, he won't tell you. He hated it.
Every minute of it.
He hated every minute, the preparation, the actual sale itself.
Did you get rid of a lot of stuff?
Having people go through your junk and then having to clean up after people have gone through
your
junk.
Yeah, a lot of stuff got sold, and so I guess in a way it was good, like a murder-suicide pack. Very efficient
now, what
way
do you,
to spend a day.
What do you do with the stuff that's left?
Well, some of it will get returned to the people. I didn't even know Carrie was selling for several families. So some of it has to be returned.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen to this.
Oh, man.
Hold on. Listen to this surprise.
I won't be returning it.
Listen to this surprise. I'm walking around. It was great, again, to see Rob's kids.
Right. Yeah.
Especially Robert. So I just had Robert in my arms the whole time. We were walking around. And Rob said, oh, hey, look over there. Does that look familiar to you? I said, no. He said, those are your skis.
Yeah.
And I said, how did my skis get in your house? And I said, oh, yeah, that's right. I don't ski, do I?
Did you sell the skis?
No.
No.
So they're going to another yard sale somewhere further down the road, I think. But I did give you an envelope for Frida that has almost 85 cents in it. So there's your cut. Enjoy.
Is that really what?
I don't know how much is in there. It's all sealed. Go. Let's see how much you made.
So you don't know the... I would think a guy like you would know the total take.
I know the total take,
now,
but I don't know how much we get to realize.
Here I have it in my hand.
The envelope says, Frida, it's obviously Carrie's writing,
right.
And it says, yard sale.
Yeah.
Rob gave this to me. I just threw it in my bag. This is not a gag. Open it up, and
see how we did.
Inside, there's... Hold on a second.
Hey.
30... American dollars.
Hey, there you go.
30 American dollars.
That's almost a tank of gas right there.
You should want this more often.
Yeah, no, not really, Buzz. the magic of the yard sale is leave them wanting more.
So, how many items does that represent? Do you have any idea?
All of them.
Every
item.
You won't give me a straight answer.
I think all told, I think because Carrie's sister was selling stuff.
Right.
There was Geronimo items and Spiewak items and a few other families. I think our total take was about $500.
Wow.
But I don't know how much of that we'll realize.
Right.
The bargain of the day.
Right.
Yeah. Was the unassembled play school plastic house.
And how much did that go for?
$20.
Hey.
And Chewy put it in his own truck. So just, and what was the great thing about that is that was a yard sale.
He was
purchase.
Miserable. I'm telling you.
Unassembled, so brand new.
He's lowballing this. Also.
Oh. He is lowballing this for whatever reason, but he was furious on Saturday.
Really?
Furious.
Not having a good time.
And the whole thing was over by noon and then cleaned up just in time. To come on into work.
Yeah, I ought to do the wedding show.
It was a long day when the alarm goes off at 5:45 and your big fat neighbor lady comes in and says, it's 7:30, is it too early? and come on in. Come paw through our towel.
The boy was wound up.
Do you like baby clothes?
The boy's still wound up.
They're all for sale. Make us an offer. Hey, have you seen that vintage Greek urn?
Man.
No? Make an offer.
I can't think of anything worse than a yard sale.
No, you know what? In a way, if you can just stop by one for goofy sake and see if you can catch a bargain, that I understand. So I don't fault the people who came.
So for the sellers, it's a little more
difficult. But for the sellers and what all the work that goes into this on care, I did precious little and shrug my feet the whole time. If you take the amount of money she took and then divide it by hours, she didn't make minimum wage.
Right.
What's the point?
I always hated it because I hated people going through my junk.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're standing outside with stuff that's junk that you might as well just throw in the garbage, and you end up doing what your wife was doing. Go, you'll give me 30 cents? I don't know. I'll let it go for, you know, 40 cents.
Wow.
You know, you're dickering.
It's just low.
Hold on a second.
What happened? Now, that worked when you left the yard sale, that monitor that I sold you.
No. Uh-oh. Now it says on the important screen, no video input. Please check cable.
All right. Let me get over there and check.
Perhaps it's come unplugged.
Maybe. How could that be? Didn't even touch anything. The thing just all of a sudden, boom, goes Brando on me.
No.
Excuse me. Goes Isabel Sanford on me.
Marlo Brandon.
According to J-Dubs.
Isabel Sanbell.
I got nothing.
No.
Huh. I got nothing on that screen.
I'll go see if I can't scare up an engineer.
Okay, why don't you?
Thank you.
While you do, let me tell you, without giving away Anchorman, I went into Anchorman not expecting the greatest movie in the world.
Right.
I had been a Will Ferrell hater for a long time, then got turned around with Old School, and Elf was great.
I didn't know you were a Will Ferrell hater in the beginning.
Yeah, we both were Will Ferrell haters in the beginning.
I just held on to my hate longer than you have.
He's funny in this movie, and the cast is funny, and I don't want to ruin it for you. You haven't heard about all of the friggin' cameos in this movie. Cameos with people that have more than just a walk-on, hi, look, it's my face. For instance, did you know that Tim Robbins has a very large part in the movie Anchorman?
I love Tim Robbins.
He does. And, of course, Ben Stiller's in there.
Right.
Of course he is. And the Wilson brother without the bad nose. The Wilson brother that was in Old School.
So it's Luke.
Yes.
Ah.
And, of course, Vince Vaughn is in it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Of course he is. But the main thing is, he's so great. Will Ferrell is so funny. There are so many things that once everybody goes to see the movie, we're going to be saying, it's one of those movies that we're going to be saying these things on the show until we burn out on them 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Uh-huh.
But once you go see the movie, and the other key to this movie is he walks around a lot without a shirt on.
Yeah.
And boy, is that great. Is that great.
Well, that's his thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he does?
But there's a scene I can't tell you. There are two great scenes. First, because Ron Burgundy will read anything that's on the teleprompter.
Right.
One night, Christina Applegate put something on the teleprompter that he says to the city of San Diego as he signs off, which I can't say, which is so funny. And it's not only funny because the way he delivers the line, because he's Ron Burgundy, he doesn't even realize what he's just said.
Right.
And he gets done and he's like, that was a great newscast. I'm ready for a scotch. And like the Fred Willard's in this movie. You know, Fred Willard.
I love Fred Willard.
Fred Willard comes down and says, you're fired. And Will Ferrell goes, hey, that's right. You're fired too. Where are we going to get the drinks tonight? The guy's got no idea what he said.
So he said something horrible.
He did. But it was so horrible. It's funny.
Oh, good.
And there's a guy from The Daily Show. One of those guys from The Daily Show.
Oh, wonderful. I like all those guys.
Not the guy that was the fast talker, I think, in Bruce Almighty, although it might be the same guy, the guy that was the newsman in Bruce Almighty.
Right.
He steals the movie.
Yeah, well, he's fantastic.
He really steals the movie. And stay for the credits.
We've got an engineer appearing in here. He's coming in. Come on in.
Stay for the credits. Mm-hmm. You'll love the credits.
Cool.
Now, I'll tell you this without ruining the movie for you. There's a joke that involves an erection.
Uh-huh.
It's not one that you see.
Right.
At least you don't see skin. You see it through Ron Burgundy's pants as he's walking through the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on. Hi, Jeff. You see this thing? It's Jeff, our engineer. Look, there's
no signal.
It just went Brando. Tried pressing those buttons. Hold on a second. Now it says no video. Ah!
Oh, yay. Wow. That's weird. God. His hands have been touched by God.
Thank you, Jeff.
He simply laid his hands on the monitor and it works.
And it came to life. So there's a family in front of us. Uh-huh. Now you would think you're going to go see. Mike, don't sit like that with your hands.
I'm sorry.
With your hands holding, propping your face up.
I do.
Like the way that Gidget would when she sat, on the end of her bed thinking about Moondoggy.
That won't happen again. He told me what the problem was, so it's fixed.
The deal is this in Anchorman, and we're laughing. Fred and I are laughing. We didn't expect to like it so much.
Mm-hmm.
This scene with the erection happens, and it's absolutely. There are 20 parts in this movie that I say, once you see it, we'll talk about it, and you'll say, yeah, it's funny.
Well, on the Something About Mary scale, where is it close?
It's a 7. If Something About Mary was a 10, it's mm-hmm. a 7.
All right.
But it's got so many things now, as I think back about it.
Will my total disdain for Will Ferrell destroy the movie for
no,
me?
No.
All right. Okay, I'll give it a shot.
This one will win you over. This one will win you over.
Really?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
My lady, the guns. Women love the guns. I mean, I do an awful Will Ferrell.
Right.
You should go see it and learn how to do him being Ron Burgundy. That would be great for the show.
Yeah.
So there's this scene with the erection, which is one of the best scenes in the movie. And the theater's packed. There's a family of four sitting in front of us. A mom, a dad, and a boy and a girl look to be about 8 and 9 years old. Movies, what is it, PG-13? It's not R, it's PG-13.
Right.
So what do you think? You're going to see a Will Ferrell movie. Now, they've sat through a whole bunch of excrement humor.
Right.
And him walking around the pool and just his
underpants. I would think 8 and 9, not really perfect for that movie.
Walking around the pool with just his underpants on.
Right.
And, you know, just being the Will Ferrell funny. Well, it's at this one scene where the mom decides that this is it. So in the middle of the movie, she says, "This is disgusting. We are leaving." And they were in the road directly in front of us. She gets the kids, and they start to walk out. The dad doesn't walk out with them.
Right.
So the mom has the kids in the aisle. Now, the erection scene is still happening because it goes on for about 3 minutes.
Right.
Mom is in the aisle saying, turn around, don't look at this, turn around. I swear to God, ask Frida. And then the wife says to the husband, "Aren't you coming with us?" And he goes, "Oh, all right, but I don't see why." So the family gets up, and they leave because of this disturbing moment of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 minutes pass. Guess who comes back?
The dad.
Good old dad.
All right.
Good old dad.
Dad who wanted to see it in the first place.
Dad sat down, watched the rest of it by himself. So I said to Frida, we're leaving the theater. I said, that's a good game to play. Yeah, and you got to wait for the credits, because that's a funny part of Anchorman with the outtakes. And I won't tell you the surprise there, but you'll laugh at that, too. There's a great surprise with the
outtakes. All right, well, I'll give it a shot.
So I said to Frida, we got to wait. We got to follow the dad out.
Hey, did you get the impression that maybe the kids and the mom went to another movie or something like that?
We found out when we went outside because we followed the guy out. He walked out of the theater, didn't like go to a cell phone or anything, went right to the escalator. We go to the bottom level, we're over at Reston, seeing the movies. He leaves the theater, and I said, that's it. He's gone. And there was, hold on a second. They were sitting on a bench outside, and as we walked by, she said, "You realize you were in there 1 hour and 25 minutes?
Oh, my God. They were sitting out there waiting for him, the father of the year?
Now, the father said, "Why?" And listen, I can't fault him because they were having a dumb craft fair.
Right.
He said,
"Oh, so there's something for the kids to do."
He said, "You could have gone to the craft fair." And the wife says, "The craft fair stopped at 7 o'clock. So they sat outside for an hour and 20 minutes, whatever.
That was not going to be a fun night for him.
Because the erection scene is very early in the movie.
Wow.
Very early in the movie. But I recommend it highly. And then, we got a break. I just have to tell you one other thing from the weekend. So many dealings with people from this show. My good friend Buzz came over to the house yesterday to help us hook up some equipment, to help us hook up some TV stuff, because I'm illiterate with stuff like that. And Buzz, who pushed his wife off a ladder recently.
Yes.
Also, and I will go deep into depth.
I didn't mean to laugh at that, Buzz. That was a little schadenfreude.
I'll go deep in depth on this with you. He did, in fact, assault me. And I'm not kidding. The first thing I screamed was, I believe I'm bleeding.
Oh, my God.
I believe I'm bleeding. And then I said, if I need stitches.
So you, too, became aware of what many people know, Buzz's violent tendencies.
That's right.
Projects, home projects with Buzz. Somebody's always going to get hurt. And next week, we're putting in a hot tub at Mike's house.
That's Yeah, looking forward to that. Yeah, we've got paramedics standing by.
Are you?
No, I'm kidding. I'm trying to figure out who to hurt next.
Listen, hold on. Joe Ardinger, if you're within the sound of my voice, Joe, stand by for one of our favorite segments.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Joe reads a book.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. If you want to really enjoy comedy, it's Joe Ardinger attempting to read.
Why go out and spend the, whatever it is, $40 to buy the Bill Clinton book, mm-hmm. My Life, when Joe Ardinger will read selected passages, and we've decided when Joe reads the book, just cold, we'll give it to him and let him read it to you today in different little moments during the show. We'll start with the good stuff, the day that Bill told Hillary about Monica.
Very exciting.
And then from there, we'll just flip-flop all over the book where there are names and locations.
I think the Hillary part is pretty easy to understand, but when Joe gets into the more complicated matters...
Yeah.
It should be fun reading.
Yeah, but even as he's talking about Hillary, because he really doesn't want to stay on topic,
right?
He does vary off, like after five paragraphs, into names like, you know, Yasser Arafat.
Good.
Don't
mention those names. We want Joe to hear them cold.
Okay.
Read them cold.
Joe, forget what you just heard. We'll be right back, everybody.
And this is the Don and Mike Show.
Don't tell me they're just like letting the audience just stand out there like that. Oh, my God. Okay. So let's hurry, y'all. Seriously. This is retarded. They told me they were going to do a vamp. Oh, no. What are they doing? Let me see. Oh, my Panthers are doing my groove. I thought they were going to... I know. Well, I'm just not going to stand out. I thought they were going to... Bam.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Thanks,
Brittany.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Rob, you got to switch that screen back. So I get Dude Walker saying you can call anytime.
Oh, that's the button to press?
Well, then, and then we have to go to a different audio library.
We're still working through the system. Bear with us.
I will.
And find it yet? Good, because we're not on the air or anything.
How long do we have?
We started 30 seconds ago.
You're leaving now.
Although I did a tight talk up on Asia.
Building a better touchscreen. The Don and Mike Show.
If you need a little longer to...
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, now that's a cheat. You pulled out the cartridge.
It is, but...
Can't you find it on the computer?
Yeah.
Take your time. This is a 30-second intro.
There you go.
You got it? And, which one is it?
There it is.
Looking for
as
a new job?
Check
out the Washington
no, that's not it.
You have something?
Come on, Robbie.
You have something with a longer intro?
That's a 30-second intro.
I know.
For God's sakes. Okay.
Before I know what we have to do. This is the fader that needs to be turned on.
Okay, so that fader's on.
Right.
So now, here we go. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. I'm just
the Don and Mike Show.
So now, if I just hit the touch screen...
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Want
to
hear it again?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America.
Yeah, you probably do it a third time.
365-3636.
I don't think so.
They're ready to believe you.
Hold on, let me start over again. Here's Asia, everybody.
You're leaving now.
Okay, hold on. Let me try.
Are we going to try
it? Don and Mike Show.
Okay.
You can call
you jumped
Don
ahead on
Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready.
So many elements. We're trying to work on the new computer system. I'm going to see if I can play the same element twice. Twice at the same time is what I'm going to try to do.
All right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, now... Let me see if I do this and this.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
See, that was the computer playing it twice in a row.
Right.
Yeah. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hey, now, ladies and gentlemen, he won't tell you, but
tight.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
That's how it's done.
Tell me they're just, like, let
them
audience
stand
out there like
no,
that.
No, shut up, Brittany.
No. Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Everything was perfect except for, okay, now.
The Don and Mike Show.
I won't play the whole thing again.
All right.
Imagine you've just heard the stuff saying
right,
call it.
Pretend.
Welcome
so then,
back, everybody.
Then you hear.
Hello.
That. Then you hear. This.
Smoother than Bacardi Limon.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Bacardi Limon.
And then you hear.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
And now we're ready to come back on the air.
Mm-hmm. And we, are you going to talk up Asia again?
Hey, did I mention happy birthday? Elizabeth, it's for you. It's Asia.
You're leaving now.
Yeah.
Oh,
Lily Beats.
Smooth and tight.
Little Lily Beats.
So,
all right, we'll work past this stuff. Oh, listen, here's what happened with Buzz.
Yeah.
Buzz was nice enough to come over to the house yesterday and help. There was a job that Frida's just been on my ass about. What actually should be a very simple job for any man. I hook and unhook my TV myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mike told me he just installed a new TV himself.
Yes, I did. Lots of cables. You know, so much going on now.
Yes. But there's a large portion of our house where we've had men come in, you know, men who know what they're doing, and hook up stuff, and they've left me books.
Are they big crimpers?
Buzz, did you find a lot of crimpers?
No crimpers were involved.
Oh,
no
okay.
Crimping was required.
Okay, crimping was required with the guy that hooked my TV up.
Yeah, so that's no fun.
So these guys come over with the stuff, and they give me a book.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, I'm like, you're the same. When anybody gives you a book, they go, you got any questions? Here's the book.
God, I hate to read.
I don't read instruction books.
Here's the book. You know what I do with the book? I put it in the junk drawer in the kitchen.
Right.
So Buzz comes over, and I said, listen, here's what you got to do. I got to get the cable from this room to this room, and here's the box up here, and I don't know what anything is. So Buzz climbs up on a ladder, and we get a flashlight, and Buzz figures out exactly what all of the stuff does. And it turns out I was at the wrong input box to begin with. What? Right. What'd you do?
Buzz on the ladder. You're painting, you know, ingredients for some payback.
Yeah. Absolutely. We were
marching. You were all night buttering the rungs.
It wasn't actually a ladder. It was a wobbly chair.
Oh.
A tall, wobbly chair.
But still, it was before you attacked me.
Yes.
Yeah. And I steadied the chair.
Well, did you attack him because he put you on the wobbly chair? You thought he was trying to kill you?
I didn't attack. I won't deny that I hurt him, but I didn't do it on purpose.
Very good.
So here's the deal. Buzz is wonderful in this regard. He understands this, and he says to me, you know, he talks down to me without talking down to me.
Right.
He says, now, here's your inputs, here's your outputs. These feed the satellite up on top where you can't see. This feeds antenna.
Right.
This feeds. So I understand everything once Buzz tells me.
Sure.
Then he says, all we got to do is go to Radio Shack and get the.
It's all about feeding.
All right. We got to do is go and get a little thing to slip on to
a
make
connector.
To make the he side go into the she side of the.
It's a lot like life.
Of
I'm
the
good
cords.
At that. Yeah.
So we go to Radio Shack, and at this point, I feel like a dope because we walk into Radio Shack and it's like I'm the kid.
Right.
We go in and Buzz knows just what we need.
And so some guy walks up to you and says, can I help you?
And Buzz,
like, Daddy?
Buzz says, the first thing we need is maybe a stand that can swivel. So the guy goes, Buzz and the guy go walk over and look at this in the store. I'm standing up by the cash register. Buzz says, how big was that? Was 17 inch? 19 inch? I said, it's 19. He goes, you sure about that?
Okay, wanted to make sure.
I go, yeah, I'm sure. Then he leaves with the guy, and they go to the back of the store to find the other parts.
Like what happened back there?
And then it's time.
Wobbly
it's,
chair.
It was the back of the store, a lot like the back of that store in Falling Down, the movie.
No, not at all.
No, it was not.
All right,
not like that.
That's a little movie reference for people that might enjoy it.
Not like that. So, Buzz picks out the stuff that we need to make this work, and then I'm standing there like a dope, and I said, well, I guess I'll pay. You know, it's the stuff from my house. I'll pay. And as we're standing there waiting for the credit card approval to go through, the stand that we bought has to weigh like 15 or 20 pounds, and it's in a box, and Buzz is standing there just holding it.
Mm.
Now, he could have put it on the counter,
mm-hmm.
and I'm buying it, even though Buzz is helping me pick it out because I'm retarded like this. I felt at that point, my God, I really feel emasculated here. I said, Buzz, you don't have to just hold on to that 20-pound
thing.
Yeah, especially if later on he's going to hop on the wobbly sex chair.
I said, put the thing on the counter. You know, you make, I feel bad, you're carrying everything. And he said, that's all right, I like carrying things. I said, okay, that's cool. So
well, it's this newfound, physique that he's got.
Yeah, Jack LaLanne.
It's exercise for him.
Right. So we get to the car, and we open up the back, and we put the stuff in the back, and we drive back to my house. Now, this is where it gets hinky. Pull into my driveway. You know, I got a big SUV, a big gas-guzzling SUV. Mm-hmm. I open up... Thanks, Rob.
Hallelujah.
I open up the tailgate part, and back there were only two things we have to take out of the car. All of these little plugs and clips that are in a very small plastic bag.
And a body.
And this gigantic swing arm thing that we're going to mount the TV on. Now, because Buzz has done all the heavy lifting, I said, I'll take... the swing arm thing.
Yeah, he took the heavy box, and I took the little bag that had the parts.
So I said, you get the little bag. So now imagine this. I'm in the garage, and the tailgate is all the way up on the car.
Gotcha.
I'm leaning in to the back, to the storage area, and I said, okay, I got this, and it's a heavy box. And I said, as I was starting to move away, I said, listen, Buzz, do me a favor. When you get a chance, and I know I said this.
Is that when Buzz, put the chloroform-soaked napkin over your face?
No,
kicked you into the back of the van and then tried to remove your skin?
Not needed.
It gets better, because I said, do me a favor. In a second, can you shut this tailgate for me? And he said, sure, and then I swear to God, this thing, the metal part of the tailgate, Buzz slams it down directly on my head.
Okay, stop right there. You did say close it. And Don was rounding the corner. I think going around to the side of the SUV. And here's where I misjudged.
Hold on, I want to just make sure I got this right.
Mm-hmm.
So Don's outside of the back of the thing. He asked you to shut it, and he's coming around.
You kind of
caught him with the corner of it.
Exactly. That's the worst part. It's the metal pointy part.
I know that.
The pointy metal part. And the back strap of my SUV, the tailgate thing, it's got a strap.
Yep.
So you just pull on the strap.
Right. I'm used to the trunk of my car, which tapers toward the end. And this doesn't taper. This is square and square cornered. And it's metal and they're sharp.
So you dug into his skull
He didn't say in a minute. He said, if you don't mind, would you close that?
And did you say in a minute or not, Don? We have a point of order here.
Maybe I didn't say in a minute.
He said, would you close that? And I said, sure. Now, it's my fault for not making sure he was clear. But I assumed if he said close it, he was clear. So... with all my might, I pulled that sharp metal door down onto his head.
Oh, and did you get the pain reaction?
It couldn't have felt good, and I didn't feel too good about it either.
Now, here's the thing.
Was it like when you shut your finger in the van door?
Worse than that.
Really?
Because the first thing I did was scream at Buzz. I got so mad. Because this was a sharp metal tailgate.
I understand. I have a similar vehicle, and I know what you're talking about, that corner that comes down.
I wouldn't ask you to come over here and feel my head today, but there is a gigantic...
Well, that part of your head, you can probably see it, can't you?
Thanks, Mike.
I'm sorry. Can you lean forward so I can maybe get a look at it?
Sure.
My bald spot. See if you can find the big knot on my head. Can you find it?
I think it might be far forward. It might be just underneath your headphones. Oh, I see it now.
Is it under the band?
Yeah, I see it now. Yep. I see it.
This is my big bald spot, highlighting that, huh?
No. Thank you for highlighting that, Mike.
I'm just trying to understand everything that went on there.
So
you got it smack dab on the tippy top of your head.
And I said, God damn it, Buzz. I mean, I was mad, and I said...
After all the work he was doing for you...
I know, and I said... if my head is bleeding, I don't know what I am going to do. I said, God damn it, Buzz, God damn it.
No, you were pretty good about it.
Then he came over and...
showering you with kisses.
Caressed your face.
No. This was the awkward moment.
Right.
Because I'm standing by the side of the car where he's just beamed me with this thing. And
hard.
He comes, and I'm sitting there holding my head, really thinking I'm going to feel blood. Yeah. He comes over... and the next thing I know, it's Buzz's hand on my face going, are you okay? I'm like, faggot, get your hands off me!
Buzz, you're in a no-win situation.
I know, but I had to make sure he wasn't loopy, because I hit him hard with maybe the worst possible thing you could hit somebody with.
So then I sat there for a second and thought, is it bleeding? So yeah. I went inside and put a towel on. It wasn't bleeding.
At any time, did he ask you to suck the poison out?
No.
Okay.
I tried to get him to put ice on it, but...
Did you see stars?
No, it wasn't like anything like that, but... It was funny because Buzz felt so awful about it.
I did.
That
I still do.
Really, after a couple of minutes, it was just like anything. That, you know, another Charlie adventure. Just,
yeah.
All right, I got a big lump on my head. I'm
just
okay.
Get a face cloth and, you know, soak it in effing vodka and, you know, and pat dry it.
Although Frida said to me, wouldn't it have been interesting, because this was right before Frida got home from work.
Right.
We did this thing done so we could show her when she got home from work yesterday. Right. When Frida heard, she said... Well, now, wouldn't Buzz have been in a queer position if he would have killed you?
No. You know, that's an nice understatement. To, very interesting thing nice to brought
know,
that up.
Nice to know that that's the first thing that my wife thinks when I tell her, you know, hey, and Buzz put this thing, you see this big spot on my head? And what if he would have killed you? Well, yeah, he would have really had a hard time talking his way out of that one, wouldn't he?
Well, where that's located, if that had been Joe Ardinger, that would have gone right through the soft spot. That would have been nasty.
But, Buzz, thank you, and thank you for the call this morning.
Well, you're very welcome. I had a great time. I'm sorry I beamed you on the head, and it truly was an accident, you know, unlike the latter incident.
And I just want to make sure that the current address I have for your home address is the same?
That's all I'll be saying. And you know my attorney's name.
Okay.
Very good. He'll served this week.
So, set and set. But thank you, Buzz, for coming over and helping with the TV.
Certainly.
Frida was...
and everything's working perfectly?
Yeah. Everything works great.
That's wonderful.
Everything's labeled.
I did install my own TV this weekend, and I found that the guy that had been there the last time, I want to call him Mr. Crimper. Mr. Crimper crimped everything. Mr. Crimper would have crimped my refrigerator to my sofa if he could have. It was ridiculous.
After Buzz finished, could you see the TV in color?
Hello, it's black and white, really.
Hello, Steve.
An early Andy Griffin.
Yes, it's me.
Hey, Steve, you're on the air.
Thank you for the help, Buzz.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, we're doing great.
That's great. I'm fine. I just can't feel my right side.
Who can I help next week?
Hi, Steve.
Yeah, I just had this happen to myself here. So, Buzz, I'll let you off the hook. I did it to myself.
How do you pull a tailgate down on yourself?
Easily.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know that tailgate. Do you have the same one like mine? I mean, that opens like up, and then you can pull it straight down?
Yeah.
God, it's a pain. It's a lethal, lethal weapon.
Stay back.
I'm just trying to take my groceries out here, you know, get sent out, and then whammo.
Yep, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Whammo. All right, thank you, my friend.
That's why you need one of those mommy minivans. Don't they have those little things now where you press a button and it does it automatically?
Yeah, the nice little door that opens up. But Mike, there's nothing macho there.
I know.
Nothing macho or manly.
You want to take that thing with the little pulley and, you know, that leather strap
and
pull it down to your chest and glam it.
They do have minivans that close automatically, but that doesn't work when you back them into a tree.
You never let it go.
Once again, we want to say hi to Carrie.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Julia, who's probably in the car right now, too.
Oh, hi, Julia. How was your first day at the farm camp today?
Hello. It's not farm camp. It's work camp.
No. It's not a work camp.
It is, but it's only 3 hours.
Farm camp.
Sure.
Let's say that. Well, that sounds like a whole show.
She's at a farm
camp,
right?
She is at a farm camp where she gets like to be introduced to like animals and vegetables and things.
Is that the camp where all the kids wear camouflage?
That's right.
Very good. Farm camp, code for... Militia.
My first gun.
Yeah.
Okay, boys and girls, gather around. We're going to hear the story about the pony and the survivalist.
Here's how My Little Pony can feed a family of eight.
My little pink gun. Listen, hold on. We're going to have to wait with the current events here with jokes. We've got a guy coming on the show next who I find very interesting, and I hope you will as well. Everybody knows who Michael Moore is, and I think in this room we're all on Michael Moore's side, no matter if he's taken things too far in Fahrenheit 9/11.
It makes you think he stirs stuff up.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a guy that's got a website, MichaelMooreHatesAmerica.com, and... Beyond the website, the guy is doing a documentary film in which he's pulling a Michael Moore on Michael Moore.
Right.
He's following Michael Moore around, mm-hmm. trying to check on the facts. Now, as far as I can tell from what I've read and researched about this guy, he's not out to get Michael Moore. He's not saying that Michael Moore's message is wrong.
Right.
He just wants to try to set things straight. He's trying to do to Michael Moore what
Michael Moore does to everybody else.
Done to everybody else.
Somebody has to police the police.
And one of the people who's a big supporter of this guy is a guy we just had on the show a couple weeks ago, our friend Penn Jillette.
Okay, yeah.
So I guess Penn Jillette, if you go to MichaelMooreHatesAmerica.com now during the break, you can click on the trailer for his documentary, The movie that this guy Mike Wilson's making. He's coming on next. You'll see a lot of Penn Jillette in this. Mm. And you also see a lot of, and it looks just like a Michael Moore movie, with him running down the street. Mm. Mr. Moore, can you comment? Can you comment? And
right.
It has a scene of Michael Moore where he's promoting Bowling for Columbine, saying, what do you think about the movie Mike Wilson's making about you? And Michael Moore's comment is, I appear in no movies except my own.
Okay.
I have no comment.
Right.
So, I think it's interesting. Go to the website.
Sure.
The guy's got a tale to tell.
Well, are they trying to release this before the election, too? Is that what they're trying to do?
It's a documentary that I think maybe only is only available on DVD right now.
Okay.
But, listen, look at the website during the break.
Okay.
You'll be interested like I was interested.
Right.
I don't think the guy's a tool. And besides, maybe we can do a three-way here and get Penn Jillette on the phone.
Very good.
Because a big part of this trailer is just Penn Jillette, who incidentally, if he's listening, sorry, just looks creepier than ever. with the big, long, Weird Al Yankovic hair and the...
And his fingernail thing.
Yeah, well, and like weird facial hair. But
right.
He's the focal point of this thing. He's sitting there saying Michael Moore is doing this and this, and this guy, Mike Wilson, is following him around. And,
right.
And I guess Penn Jillette is doing PR for this film, even though he's not really got any ties to this film.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So that guy will be coming up right after...
This is the Don and Mike Show.
WJFK. I got your computer right here. Hi, Beverly.
Oh, boy, there goes that rock band again.
That's not rock. It's okay if you only know three chords, but God, put them in the right order.
That noise has been giving Nancy headaches all week. Then yesterday, her back broke out in scratch marks.
Well, I'll go over and straighten them out.
The Don and Mike Show.
They will do you proud every time. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
All right, okay, spotlight on Spokane, Washington. KJRB. Wausau, Wisconsin, WRIG. These are stations that are currently running the show. Harrisonburg, Virginia, 95.5. WCXI. Brownsville, Texas. KVJY, Warren, Ohio, WANR, WOYK, York, Pennsylvania, and Tampa Bay. Used to be WQYK, now WBZZ. Let's end with Buffalo, WBUF.
As I was working.
And then I guess it's the Houston. Oh, Mike, you can just... You're going to have to help me by lifting your hand.
You saw me. That was the first time you said you have actual eagle vision, because I did the little subtle thing and you saw it right away. That's okay. that you didn't miss a split second.
If Mike has moved from mic number four to mic number three, because right. We have all the new monitors here today. Houston, we start in Houston in a couple of weeks on a real broke Richard Cheney radio station. KIKK.
Kick.
You know, I guess the thought is that eventually they'll put, because Howard's going to be on the station too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a daytime AM station.
And which means technically that there will be times during the year we will not be heard.
And Howard, because it's sun up to sundown.
So you won't get the front of Howard and the end of us.
Right. Yeah. I got to think it's a stopgap that they just haven't found the station in Houston for the shows yet.
Yeah. We can do stopgaps.
So, yeah.
That's what we do.
We can do stop. We've done stop gap. We are. It's just, here's the
I'm
thing.
I'm stop.
And I'm gap. Either we've elevated to the point in this company where they're going to throw us on some new stations and some big markets, or Howard is sliding down to our level, where now stop gap is okay with him.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to hide him. You never know.
What's the time difference? Is it 1 or 2 hours?
It's 1 hour. Don't you remember from when we were in Nancy's hometown of Houston?
I remember when we were in Houston, I literally didn't know what time it was.
They're an hour behind, but that's...
Hey guys, just change your watch.
There you go.
Hey guys. So anyway, there's some of the fine stations that are carrying the show, and we actually have a list now, so we know who's running the show and who's not. So thanks for listening.
Good.
Mike Wilson is on the phone. Also, Penn Jillette is on the phone. We want to thank Penn. We'll get him on here in a second.
Okay.
To talk about this. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us. The website is michaelmoorehatesamerica.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're big Michael Moore supporters.
At first, hearing the name of this, the website, and I just, because I know nothing about it, I don't know who's funding it, I don't know where it comes from. One would hear that and would think that it was a right-wing funded...
I'm swimming in money over here, guys. I've asked for conspiracies all over this.
So you're saying it's not, it's just your own little thing, huh?
Well, if my MasterCard is part of the vast right-wing conspiracy, then I guess, yeah, they're in on it, but... Otherwise, no. This is my little gig here. Yeah.
So it's a documentary this guy's trying to make about Michael Moore. Mm-hmm. And before we get pen in on this, because here's the thing, the first thing I did when I went to the website was clicked on this thing to say see the trailer.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, he's got a couple of trailers up there.
And you see the trailer, and the trailer's like 50% Penn Jillette sitting around talking about. Yeah, this is
now Mike. I haven't seen it. What is Penn saying when he's on that?
He is echoing Mike's point of view.
Okay, and Mike's point of well, it's pretty obvious.
Well, Mike, no, it's not really obvious. What is your point of view on Michael Moore?
Do I like him? I don't know that I like him. I don't dislike him. I mean that's the thing. I don't hate Michael Moore, and I don't know that Michael Moore hates America. What my point of view on Michael Moore is quite simply that, you know, he's one of these guys who's always said that America is a place where the cards are stacked against you, where you can't live your dreams, where the American dream is sort of dead and gone, you know, and I don't believe that. You know, I see it time and time again where if you work really hard and you persevere and you fail and you get up and you try again, that you can achieve anything, and we have so much liberty here, you know, and it's.
Okay, so now listen. Okay, all right, shut up for a second. We get your point. So then the question is, what's a guy like Penn Jillette doing back in this guy? So let's get Penn on.
Let's find out why Penn's involved.
Hey, Penn, thank you for joining us.
How you doing, man?
We're doing great. Thanks in the last minute for coming on. I saw you in the trailer for the Mike Wilson movie.
Yeah.
What is it about Mike, and he's on the line too, what is it that you find fascinating about this project?
What I love about this project is I really believe in taking people at their word and not what you know they mean, but rather what they say. And Michael Moore is so much about, you know, the marketplace of ideas, and, you know, everybody gets a chance to tell the truth, and you get to do this. But I think it's just wonderful that another nut with a camera, also named Mike, goes out and does the same kind of thing. I mean, it just seemed like a terrific and beautiful idea. I mean, we know now that Michael Moore's effect on the election will be zero, and we also know that, you know, Mike Wilson's effect on Michael Moore will be zero. we all get to sit back and enjoy it and really talk about things. I mean, this is kind of like if you look back at the founding fathers and Jefferson and Hamilton, who would, like, you know, send out these polemics and do all this stuff. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be middle of the road news jive. It's supposed to be really passionate people saying what they mean. Now, it turns out that there's nothing, well, there's one thing, no doubt about it, there's one thing I learned from Fahrenheit 9-1-1, which is I didn't know Shaggy was a Marine.
Yeah.
That's to the list.
Yeah.
Knew the Bin Laden thing because maybe the people who watch this liberal porn don't read the papers. But if you read the papers, you knew everything in the Michael Moore movie, well, everything that was in there that he didn't make up. We couldn't know the stuff he was going to make up, but... you knew that stuff.
Now, would I, Penn, listening to you, does this mean that is this your politics? Do you come from the right? Are you going to be supporting President Bush?
See, this is the whole problem, is we're not supposed to have a two-party system in this country.
Okay.
Two-party system is only one more than totalitarianism.
Mm-hmm.
It's only one more. And the problem with this movie is nobody, I mean, I don't like Bush at all, and I was totally against any war at all going on.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean you necessarily agree with Michael Moore.
Right.
I think the biggest problem, I'm going to talk seriously for a second, I think it's important. The biggest problem with Michael Moore's assessment is he has this feeling that Bush, at a deep down level, agrees with Michael Moore, but it's just all this money pouring in that makes him do bad.
And Michael's
the whole argument that the left makes this huge mistake and thinks it's money. It's not. Sure, there's money involved, but Bush really believes that what he's doing is right, and that's the part that really should break your heart and make you cry.
So Mike Wilson, the guy who's got MichaelMoreHatesAmerica.com, How did you stumble into Penn, who incidentally does a much better job of selling your position than you do?
Thank you very much.
How did you fall into Penn?
Penn and I are both, you know, libertarians and atheists and really passionate about liberty in America, you know?
Right.
And we had a mutual friend who just sort of hooked us up. But Penn in the film is really the conscience of the film. I mean, I don't even know that he knows that yet because we're still slogging through like the third version of the rough cut. But he's really the conscience of the film. He's the one that reminds me that I don't want to be Michael Moore, you know, that I don't want to be someone who really just sort of makes things up and misleads people on the way to get my agenda out there. It's really about sort of discovering.
So Michael Moore, I mean, from what I've heard from where Michael Moore has been interviewed, he would be the first one to say, you know, is this fair and balanced? And he will say, no, he's got a point of view, and that's what he's doing. And if you come out and you say that, I think that I cut Michael Moore a little bit of slack for coming out and said, no, I'm not trying to be, fair and balanced. I've got a political agenda, and then that's what I'm doing. He does come out and say it, doesn't he?
Well, that doesn't make it okay to lie just because I'm lying to you, so that makes it okay. It doesn't make it okay.
Well, wait a minute. I have to take exception with that.
All right.
I'm lying to you, and it's way okay. The problem is that Michael Moore really does try to have it both ways. He also is on record as saying this is all true and this is all everything else. And he uses that op-ed piece kind of metaphor for what the movie is. And, I think that, you know, the biggest argument against 9 Fahrenheit is to see it. There's just, when you do stuff, and I think he hurts, I mean, I think ultimately the movie ends up helping Bush tremendously, because when you do stuff that's like doing slow motion of a man who's about to go on TV looking over and checking the monitor and trying to pass that off as shifty, of course it's morally okay, and of course he hates Bush and that's his whole point, but really what I want to hear out of people is not someone stomping and saying, I hate him, he's ugly, he can't even golf well. I want to see someone say, maybe we shouldn't be doing these things in this country. And his dealing with the woman's grief, I found just so deeply troubling. And it wasn't bringing that to me. Anyone with a brain in their head that ever read history knew that the second that those jets flew into those Twin Towers, that woman was going to exist. And that's the horror. The horror is the people that go and say they were very upset with that woman losing her son. I just want to say to them, didn't you know that? Why did you need Michael Moore? Needs no fat guy from Michigan come to tell us this. The pain that's involved in war is overwhelming, and we have to stop it. And we don't have to stop it because some guy spits in his comb. We have to stop it because it's wrong.
You know what?
Paul Wolper with spitting in his comb is to me the grossest part of the whole movie.
Well, you know,
if there was a redeeming thing that I found in Fahrenheit, you know, aside from all the misleading and all that stuff, I found that Moore did show us the gruesomeness of war, and it's something we don't see anymore.
Right.
And that's something that we need to see, because war is ugly.
Are you following around Michael Moore the way he followed around the guy in Roger and Me?
I chased him all over the country.
That's hysterical. I think that's fantastic.
That's really funny.
Now, how come Michael Moore, I saw in the clip where he's being interviewed for Bowling for Columbine, and he says, I will not be in any movie that's not my own. I don't get that from Michael Moore. I don't agree with what you guys are saying necessarily, but I don't see why Michael Moore just wouldn't say, hey, you're going to follow me around, that's what I did. Sit down, let's chat.
It is funny he didn't say that, isn't it?
Penn and I disagree on this. Penn thinks his only move is not to talk to me, and I thought his only move was to talk to me.
I would agree with you, Mike. I think the only move that Michael Moore could move to make the save face would be to talk with
you. But if you're going to, you might think he's helping you out by not talking to you. You never know.
So how far have you gotten with Michael Moore? Do you have shots of him running away from you?
No, we have lots and lots of shots of me making phone calls to try to get through and try to talk to people and make appointments. We've got shots of me talking to him and introducing myself at the University of Minnesota right before he started screaming at me. We've got shots of me trying to show up to his production company in New York and all these things.
Hey, Michael, how long has your project been in the works here?
Oh God! We started last March, so.
So before the whole frenzy of Fahrenheit, you were doing this.
What would be the one thing you would say? Because Michael Moore always has something when he's chasing someone from GM. He always wants to scream. What about the plants in Flint? And in this, there was an agenda. What's your agenda with Michael Moore? If you could get him and you pinned him in a corner, what's the thing you'd ask him? You'd try to nail his ass about.
I really would want to know. And it's a few questions, but the one thing that I want to know is why he and I see the world so differently. We come from very similar backgrounds, both blue-collar, Midwestern families. You know, all these things that we really have in common, and it surprised me so much when I started diving into them, how much there was when we see the world so differently. And so I guess my questions revolve around, you know, what is it about corporations that maybe I'm not understanding? Maybe what is it about your background that I'm not understanding? Because I've been to Flint, and guess what? There's a bad section, and there's a beautiful section. You know, I mean, the image that he portrays of you know, where he comes from and his roots and the reasons that you would think that would lead to him to have this really leftist ideology and all these things. I've been there, and I've seen him, and it doesn't make sense.
Pat, I have to ask something here. As I listen to this guy who sounds like Rush Limbaugh Jr., what are you doing with this guy? Ted, are you still there?
Yeah, I don't, my, you know, with him is a whole, I mean, we've dated a little bit.
and you were nice enough.
Those were trying to have children.
You were nice enough to join us, so I don't mean with him, but I mean, you're involved
at some level.
See,
I guess because I'm answering the question, why wouldn't Moore just sit down and talk to him? If someone has a project I'm interested in that I have something to say about it, I'll say something about it. I have not seen the whole movie. I don't know his whole point of view. I know that we agree on a lot of things. I think that I'm in a different position than all of you here. I think that if someone ran into your studio right now with a crew that you didn't know and hadn't cleared, that you would have somebody say, you can't talk to Don, and, you know, Don until we...
Yeah, you're right.
That's true. You're absolutely right about that.
I think that Michael Moore, by doing that, he implies that anybody that doesn't give him their full attention every second is somehow duplicitous and evil. And that bothered me right from the very beginning of all the stuff he does. It also struck me as very interesting and kind of really a funny performance art thing to see, well, does Michael Moore really do what he thinks other people should do? If Michael Moore were the head of GM, would he sit down with Michael Moore? And now we have this really cool little movie that says, no, he wouldn't.
You know, from what I know about Penn Jillette, I think Penn's probably going to line somebody up to follow Mike Wilson around to do a documentary on the...
We're working on it.
There's already like three anti-Mike Wilson websites. It's already begun.
And Mike, let me ask you something. One of the best things that I saw about your website and when is the finished time on this movie? Is it out? Is it on DVD?
No, we've been in negotiations with different distributors.
Are you negotiating with the Weinsteins right now?
No, I don't think they're going to be picking up the flick.
Okay.
No.
Although,
but there are lots of others who I think will be, who've already, you know, expressed a lot of interest in that. So we're just kind of trying to nail that down over the next...
Now, Mike, I know you have a good sense of humor about this. I saw that Mike O'Mara, they did a piece on The Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
Where they sent one of their reporters out, and they busted his balls pretty good, this guy Mike Wilson. And even in that point, is that the only time Michael Moore has ever responded to you?
But because for the most part,
they did have a clip on The Daily Show. Yeah. And I watched it, and I thought, well, you got some stones, because Jon Stewart and those guys, they kind of goofed on you, they got Michael Moore in. How do you feel about being presented like that, when you get some...
You know what? Everybody was getting a little too serious about the flick. And, you know, I mean, I was getting email from both sides that, yeah, how could you say that? Michael Moore loves America. And, yeah, you're right, that SOB hates America. And it was like, come on, guys, this is going to be a fun little movie, and it's going to hit some stuff. So we did the Comedy Central thing. You know, I knew that you don't go on Comedy Central not knowing that they're going to lay into you. And they did. And it was, you know, we sat here in the edit suite and just laughed. You know, I mean, it was...
You know, I know you've got a different vision, and you disagree with Michael Moore's vision, which is obviously from talking to you. But I think we go back to what Penn said before, which I totally agree with. I agree, and I, you know, I come from the left, but I will tell you, I agree with what Penn says about George Bush, and that he is probably doing what he believes to be right. I do think, and Michael Moore does kind of, when you do the slow motion of the shifty looks with the camera, that can be very questionable. I think we can all agree, hopefully, though, that you should question everything we're fed in this country. Yeah. We really should.
Do you know how profoundly different what you just said is from Michael Moore's position? I mean,
I know it is.
I was not a Clinton fan, and Clinton in his Larry King interview said something that I've been trying to say for 5 years and couldn't find the beautiful words, and Clinton really said it. Clinton said, people don't seem to accept that people can be wrong, they think they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that if I had to tell Mike Wilson one thing, I would say Michael Moore isn't bad, he's wrong.
You know what?
And Bush isn't bad, he's wrong.
And Penn doesn't know this.
Bad,
license
wrong.
Same clip from Clinton from, well, that was actually a speech that he gave where he said that exact same thing. That's really the theme of the film.
You're using that.
Yeah.
All right,
the theme,
so.
The theme of Michael Moore's movie is really, everybody agrees with me, it's just that they have $1.4 billion that makes them do evil. And the fact of the matter is, you can't give anyone in the USA $1.4 billion and make them do something they believe is completely evil. You can shift it, but you can't go against that. I mean, maybe you could with Charlie Manson, but he's locked up. The thing is that Bush, I think, is deeply wrong. I disagree with him on so many things, but I think it makes it too simple, and it makes it just liberal porn. It makes it just politics by blooper reel.
I love
liberal
porn.
That the reason he's doing it is just that. It's much more complicated, and we've got much more work to do as a country to get the dialogue out there and really speak from our hearts and not just take cheap shots all the time.
But to me, the most important thing that we need to get the word out on is that Penn has a new book out called Socks.
Oh.
Pick it up.
Hey, we, you know, Penn came on at the last minute. We can give Penn a plug for his book.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike's website is michaelmoorehatesamerica.com. And Mike, when you get this thing together, give us a call. We'd love to talk. We'd love to see it. We'd love to see what it all looks like. And Penn, thanks for joining us at the last moment.
It's always a pleasure talking to you all.
All right, thank you, Penn.
All right.
Okay, man, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See ya. Yeah, because, you know, you watch that thing and you think, what the hell is Penn doing there?
I think I know.
And he kind
I think
of
I know because I completely agree with him. And I'll tell you, I've always felt the same way about Michael Moore. And you know my politics. I mean, I'm pretty open about it on this show. But the fact is, watching that, yeah, I know, maybe a little too much so. But it's really, when you watch the movie, I did come away with that feeling. And I wouldn't talk about it because I don't mind what he's doing.
Right.
But because, you know, because I want the other guy to win. But when you come away from it, you do get the feeling, you know, hey, you know, I don't believe that it's as extreme as the film makes it out to be. But and I also believe there are things that weren't included in Fahrenheit 9/11 that would be much scarier if you knew them about some of the stuff that I've read about.
So, listen, if you get a chance, go to the website and, you know, at least check out the trailer for the Dudes movie. You'll see Penn in there, and I
do believe
interesting.
You sent a guy after Mike Wilson now to do what he's doing,
right? To follow him around,
absolutely.
And all I know is that for 20 minutes there, this almost became a real radio show.
Almost, but not quite.
And I didn't even get...
I wanted to ask Penn who he was going to, you know, because I think he's just, you know, he runs around wearing a Question Authority t-shirt all day. I mean, he, you know, I think he did, you know, tear it down, baby.
That's why they're here. Phone scan now. Let's take some of your calls, okay? At 877-365-3636. That's from America, Canada, 800-636-1067, Washington, D.C. on WJFK. 2-2-2-0-2-4-3-2-1-0-6-7. Your calls on the phone scan coming up. We've not even touched on the hot issues of the day.
Yeah.
Like, my God, Shaquille O'Neal goes to Miami. Now, for me, that's more important than even Spider-Man.
See, I disagree with you there because I couldn't get any of my baseball highlights this weekend. You know, between what's Rudy, whatchamacallit?
Rudy Tomjanovich.
Going to the Lakers and then Shaq. And it's like, I want to see baseball highlights.
That is the worst. You do not trade the best player in the NBA.
Well, now
and
lost,
he is.
And they've lost their coach, too.
Yeah, there's that.
Not looking good for the Lakers right now.
But Kobe will be happy. Kobe will be happy.
What if Kobe's found guilty?
Well, then Rudy Tomjanovich.
Now look at that grease spot where the Lakers used to be.
Rudy Tomjanovich will start drinking again. He's a guy, he blew out his liver like 3 years ago.
Did he really?
Had to stop drinking.
I can relate to that.
And the NASCAR. Oh God, the NASCAR yesterday was so great.
Really?
Tony Stewart is such a jerk that the cars are running, and they say, everybody's agreed, the 20 cars got the best car. Okay. They have like 50 laps left, and they say, it'll take Tony Stewart about 5-10 laps to pass the guy in the lead. He's got 4 new tires. It'll be a great victory for Tony Stewart. He comes around the corner. I think it's Casey Kane. Comes around the corner and just bumps this guy out of the way, speeds by him, goes into first place, and behind him, there's like a 14-car crash.
Ooh.
So then after the race in the pits, you've got the guys from the other teams coming over wanting to duke it out with Tony Stewart.
Oh, and, gotta love NASCAR.
And one of the guys on TV says, I think he's from Casey Kane's crew, he said, all I know is that Tony Stewart needs someone to kick him in his ass.
So that means that sets it up for the next race.
Oh, you bet it does. And I don't think it's WWE stuff, because you're talking about guys going 200 miles an hour.
WWE stuff can result in a death. It's a little more serious.
Yeah, so I loved that. I loved the Tony Stewart stuff. I loved the Shaq stuff. Also, just because we were getting a little too intellectual there, I ate a booger this weekend. No. So call now with a phone scan.
I just thought that'd be the tip in there.
Yeah.
That's why we're fair and balanced.
We are. Phone scan comes right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You want to talk about loneliness or share a prayer request tonight? Maybe even a word of testimony, what God's been doing in your life? Frank is in New York listening over WAWZ. Thanks for calling us, Frank.
Good evening, gentleperson.
Evening, sir.
Anyway, I heard your topic about feeling alone, even alone in a crowd. And there are times when I feel alone in a crowd of one. And in my church, my pastor, Pastor Buzz Burbank, has stated on many occasions, I have taken drugs, I have imbibed in alcohol, I've had sex with women, but there's nothing like a good dose of Jesus Christ. And I was wondering if Jesus were alive today, if he would be listening to the Don and Mike Show.
Well, that's a great question. We, you know, bless you.
Thank you. I think
the reality is, I think he'd be doing the kind of things he was doing in the New Testament. I can't, you know, have you using language like that in the air. While we care about Frank and we pray for him, and certainly our hearts go out to him, and I'm grateful that he's involved in a church. And I want to encourage folks to pray for Frank and his own loneliness and the issues that he's dealing with in his own life. And most of all, that the Lord will be able to help him deal with some of the things that he needs to deal with.
The Don and Mike Show.
We're going to have to edit that tape, because there was just a part of there I had to delete out. Just a small part.
That's delicious. The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
That's a shame we have to edit that out.
Yeah. But you know what? It's funny you said that, Mike.
Yeah.
Because the name of the song is what the guy just said. Ladies and gentlemen, out at the beach, visit Spinners. It's a shame.
It's a shame.
That's what Mike just said. It's a shame. Phone scan time. 877-365-3696.
I'm still laughing about that.
Canada, 800-636-1067. D.C., 202-432-1067. And with a brand new touch screen technology, you're on the air. Don and Mike Show, hello.
Good afternoon, gentleperson.
Hi, you're on the air.
Uh-oh, watch it.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, go ahead, gentleperson.
Oh, hi, this is Doug in Goldvein. I just wanted to thank Mike for reminding me about Tim's Rivershore Restaurant once again.
Oh, now I'm not allowed to say that. I've gone to the well many times on that, and, you know, I got my plug du jour in today.
Okay, well, I just started hanging out there on the weekends. I forgot that they had
restaurants. Okay, listen, someone should tell them to buy a schedule.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
He seemed nice.
Goodbye.
Gentleperson. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Answer. Get off me, Holmes. Question. What did the Mexican say when two houses fell on him?
Now listen. Oh, really not fair.
No, and not good.
Not fair.
Cheating.
We let that one slide by only because it's a good-looking Monday.
It's a very good-looking Monday.
Watch it, because we got caller ID. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good morning, Radio Gods.
Howdy, how are you?
Hey, I try and listen, you know, all the time, but did you guys ever talk about the 14-year-old that got lucky with his 23-year-old hottie teacher in Florida?
Well, I think we probably mentioned that.
It happened while we were on vacation, actually.
I don't know if you guys mentioned it last week.
You know what? I didn't know. I don't think we did. Bye. I don't care about you. You know what I do care about, though, is that what's the teacher's name in Seattle? The teacher that 7 years ago.
The old one that's been in jail.
Yeah. Well, she's getting out in 2 weeks.
Really? Is she going to marry? What's she going to marry? A 15-year-old?
No. He's 21 now.
Yeah.
And the court. There's a court order saying for the rest of their lives
they are linked together because of the baby.
No. For the rest of their lives, they're not allowed to have any contact.
Oh. Okay.
So the kid who's now 21 is suing or is making some. What is this?
The coolest guy you ever seen in Seattle.
Oh, okay, I get it, Rob. It's the sea panel. Okay.
You know, in the land that he lives in that land of, like, colorful flowers and Oz that Rob lives in,
yeah,
where everything is like a sitcom set,
yes,
any serious discussion will not be, even a lighthearted discussion, if there's anything that relates to a situation comedy,
he'll pull it out. Right, it's in Seattle.
And for those that, the vast majority, in fact, for all the, but two people that might not know what that's from, what is that from?
Here comes the bride.
Here comes the bride.
And God forbid your name is Angie. Gotta go to that.
Anyway, yes, they're from Seattle, and the kid is now going to court.
Don't they have a kid together?
They have two kids.
They have two kids together. Okay.
And they showed her on TV, and she looks like Boomhauer's wife from King of the Hill.
Does she really?
She does. Time has not been easy on M'lady. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
M'lady, and if you go see Anchorman, that's another thing you're gonna start doing.
M'lady.
M'lady, my mountain, my steed are ready for you, m'lady. Ron Burgundy, go see Anchorman, you'll love it.
I want to be on you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, how come you guys aren't doing the blowhorn phone calls where people don't get it anymore?
How come we're not doing the what?
Blowhorn. Phone calls. People don't get it.
He can't say bullhorn.
Are you incapable of saying bullhorn, sir?
That's just a bit we do once in a while. We'll bring that back. That's just a once in a while. But hold on, Robbie.
But while we're waiting for Don to get the bullhorn, can you say bullhorn three times in a row, sir?
Blowhorn.
Blue.
You're saying bluehorn.
You said bluehorn, not bullhorn.
Where do you think the breakdown is between the brain and the mouth where you can't say bullhorn?
Say bullhorn.
Vitamin B.
Three times fast.
I can't.
There's the bullhorn. Fly yourself.
Thanks, Don and Mike.
Hey, hold on.
Right.
Hello.
Hello. He's always do that. I'd help you with that, but someone would get hurt.
Why did you even bring up the bullhorn, ass? Here it is. It's right here.
You should inform him that the only time you can call.
The only time you can call.
About a bullhorn. Is when you can pronounce bullhorn.
Is when you can pronounce bullhorn.
Do you
hear me?
Yes.
Now go to a bridge and jump.
He got out of it what he wanted.
I wish they didn't enjoy it so much.
Well, they do, Buzz.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Yeah, I can't pronounce Norfolk, but hey, Don, I've got a pain in my left testicle. Hi, Jim!
We have the Monday agenda callers today.
I guess.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Phone scan.
Why, hello there, Don's and Mike's.
Hi there.
How are you today?
Aren't you the only one allowed to do that?
Yes,
on the show?
I am. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don's and Mike's.
Oh, hey, Robert. Buzz, you thought it was two guys in a row.
I thought it was two in a row.
Hello, Dan. No, and I recognize. Here's Bobby Mailman. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, it's Don.
Yeah.
Why did you have Buzz out over the weekend? Where's your techno nigger?
Oh, dear. I think Robert wanted to come out and help you with your stuff.
Stop. You know what? That guy's...
Where's your nigger?
That guy, his company, like anybody that's in the tech field, the guy came out about a year ago and hooked up my TV stuff. Now we call them up and we say, can you come out and give us a hand? And they say, yeah, we'll try to hook you up like in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Business is too good.
Get an appointment. So that's why I finally had to go to the white man.
Yeah. I can help you out, too. I'm a techno negro. I can help you out.
You're gifted in the ways of installation, Robert?
Very, very much so, sir. All my rooms are hooked up with TV, stereo, surround sound, everything, DVD players.
Yes. All right, let me ask you something from the Negro perspective.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I love playing the game with you, Robert. Now, really, for me, this was big news on Saturday night. I must have called like 6 or 7 guys to say, I can't believe that Shaq has been traded from the Lakers.
Robert's the biggest Laker fan we know.
I don't have your phone number.
Yeah, sure. Everybody has my phone number.
I don't have your phone number.
I'll get to you next time, buddy.
Okay.
Shaq is a crybaby bitch.
Hold on.
To try to get rid of.
Hold on. The last time you were here, what was the number jersey you were wearing?
I had 8 on, Trick.
I have Brian's shirt. I mean, I don't have any serial numbers.
You don't have 34?
Didn't you know that trick?
I have 32, Old Magic. I have 42, Worthy, and I have 8.
I'm stealing that one. I like that's my new favorite line from Rock. Didn't you know that trick?
So you're telling me, if you got a team to build right now, you'll take Kobe over Shaq?
No. The Lakers are making a big mistake, but he's a whiner, and if they kept him, he wouldn't do his best, you know, so they can't keep him. If you don't want to play there, they got to get rid of him.
Yeah. No, that's the dumbest move of all time, Robert. That's the dumbest. It's the dumbest move of all time for the Lakers.
Sort of me going into stand-up.
Hey, how's your stand-up career going, Robert?
Oh, yeah.
It's on hold right now because I bought a jet ski, and I've been on the Potomac for the last 3 weeks.
So have you done an open mic night or anything like that?
I'm going too soon. I was supposed to go up to Jokes on RF tonight, but I had to go out of town. I'm in Fredericksburg, Virginia right now.
Have you been pulled over yet on that jet ski? I got to think anybody sees a black man on a jet ski, they have to think he stole it.
And the funny thing about it, I got pulled over in D.C. by a black cop who gave me a ticket for not having a whistle on the boat.
Robert, I've gotten a ticket on my jet ski before. It's amazing you're out there.
For not having a whistle?
No, I got a...
You got to have safety equipment.
I got a ticket for going like 55 in a no-wake zone.
But if you're like on a jet ski...
They got me on that too, yeah.
If you're on a jet ski, do you have to have like some sort of a device to make a...
You got
to
have a fire extinguisher. Everybody has to have life vest. Everybody has to have a whistle.
Yeah. I didn't know about a whistle. I didn't know that.
Now, hey, listen, Robert, your jet ski, do you have spinners on it?
22s, yeah. I got four 12-inch and an amp. And I got two, the skull and crossbones with Niggas of the Caribbean on the back.
Oh, my God.
I got to hang up on you. You're going to get us fired. All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye. That's Robert the Angry Mailman.
Bobby Mailman. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
First of all, I'd like to say your Bill Clinton bit was real good. And I have a comment about his book that is totally bogus, what he wrote in there about sleeping on the couch after she found out about Monica Lewinsky. I mean, he lived in the White House. He had like 30 bedrooms in there. He couldn't just go sleep in one of them?
You think maybe he was using that figuratively, sleeping on the couch?
I don't know. Yeah, well, what could I say?
Okay, honey, goodbye.
A little far-fetched.
Far-fetched. Keep looking for those conspiracies.
Hello.
It's wonderful when someone bails just by saying, what can I say?
I think it's a little far-fetched that the president was actually really down there with that big a house with all of those rooms sleeping on the couch. Hi.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don Mike. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
What do you mean he's in the doghouse? There can't really be a doghouse. He'd have to sleep on dirt.
Hello.
Hey, have you guys checked out any of these reality shows? What's the one? The mortuary one? The Family Plot?
No, you know, that's on TLC, and I saw they were packaging it.
There's like a real mortuary show?
Yes. Yeah, and it's,
family.
And it's on at the same night as the show where they follow around the people from the airline.
Oh, okay, airline on TLC, right.
Right, so it's like a two-hour block.
But you know, I don't understand, speaking of airline, that reality show, if anybody's seen it, I don't understand why Southwest Airlines agreed to let their airline be the subject of that show, because you come away, at least I do most often, watching
would never want to book a...
Hating Southwest.
Southwest, would you?
I mean, hating Southwest because it's all about how, you know, hey, are you going to the party? And then they're just dumping on the customers, and I end up hating that airline.
The way they got Southwest to agree to that was by telling Southwest just the opposite. We're going to show people the bad people that you have to deal with every day and show how strong you are in dealing with that.
Oh, it is so. It's the classic example for anybody that's ever flown and had, you know, when we'll fly sometimes and you get the flight crew, the flight attendant crew, where they're having the little party in the front of the plane where they just love each other and they hate you, you know? Mm-hmm. And it shows that.
That's every really flight.
And it
at
shows.
At any point, do they show the Southwest crew telling a passenger, hope you bought something to eat, no food on this flight?
Oh, we heard that.
I love that.
And that woman, you have to say, she said that with a good-natured...
She really didn't mean well. It was the other one who said, you'll get this granola bar, but it tastes like crap.
Right, right.
She did say that to us. Well, Rob, Schadenfreude.
That's true. I'm glad she took great joy in that.
It's for everybody.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, phone scan. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just want to let you know that segment before with the Fahrenheit guy and actually tuned in on the and getting in the truck, and I thought to myself, oh, man, they pulled the plug on Don and Mike. Hannity must have ran over or something.
No, hey, listen, dude, you got to get into the whole thing, that the Michael Moore thing is a phenomenon that's sweet. You know, that movie still made $11 million this weekend.
Right.
And the other guy, if you go to the website, It's interesting.
Yeah, we weren't talking about politics. We were talking about movies about politics and movies about guys who make movies.
What about Mike?
All right, I'll give you that. Other discussion, Weezy Jefferson, Heaven or Hell.
Yeah, but I mean, if you tune into Hannity, you might like it. It's coming up for you.
Weezy Jefferson, Heaven or Hell.
He's changed the subject, Mike.
Yeah, and we've already covered the fact that Weezy Jefferson is dead.
And I get hey, do I get the prize today? I do get the prize.
Mm-hmm. You get it.
If you do tune into Hannity, check out the announcer.
Okay, well, also, you can't overuse Bacardi Limon.
This is our junior producer.
I tell you what. What is your background in radio to be telling us how to do the show? I'll tell you that that was an excellent segment with both Penn Jillette and Mike Wilson. You didn't like it. Tell me, what would you like?
I thought maybe it was cement.
Oh, too bad.
What a shame he didn't get his last word in there. Lost the call.
Bacardi Limon.
Right. Okay. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hi. I was wondering how much of that multi-cleanse did you guys get from the commercial on Sunday?
How much of the what?
Did you hear the infomercial your station's running? It's called Multi-Cleanse.
This is always very scary. No, would you enlighten us as to what infomercial we ran on Sunday? Because I'd love to know.
Is this something that was on WJFK?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about cleaning your colon.
Haven't we had that guy on?
Probably.
Maybe back in the old show.
Yeah, I don't know this one. The one I hear normally has to do with you eating silver. No, I don't know. I've not heard multi-cleanse.
Now, honey, listen, you have to understand, Mike and I are responsible for 4 hours a day on this station, and that's all that we actually stake our claim on. Everything else is out of our hands.
Even though I have pitched it to Alan that what we ought to do is hire a bunch of British guys and go all infomercial on the weekend.
Yeah.
But they all ought to have that thing. It's absolutely fantastic. Wear your red suspenders.
I'll tell you the infomercial now that I cannot turn off.
Which one?
And you have to watch it. It is for something called the Q Grill, which is a small 8-pound grill that has a little propane tank in it.
Right.
And it's not the fact that the product is good or not good. They've got one of the professional guys from the commercials.
Can you use it on Southwest Airlines?
One of the guys. They've got one of the guys who's standing there going, "This is an amazing product." You'll recognize immediately.
Okay.
But the two Goombas from Boston who have put the product together and are reading their bad lines like, "Say, have you ever wondered how much it would cost to bring a Weber grill all the way to a ballpark? I have. And how heavy it would be. How much is the Q grill? It weighs only 8 pounds. I mean, you must watch the infomercial.
Fantastic.
You must. It's the best. Two morons from Boston. They both of them sound like Boston Rob.
Oh, really? But Amber.
Yeah. Amber.
Where's Amber? She's using the Q grill.
Hello, Todd and Mike show.
Hey,
you're on the air.
Hey, I was wondering where Don's breakdown is between his brain and his hand when it comes to the bullhorn.
Listen there, voice box. I didn't quite follow that.
He's busting your balls.
What did he say?
I don't know whether it was a bad cell phone or a bad throat here, but he said he wants to know where the breakdown is between your brain and your hand when you're using the bullhorn. He's frustrated with you not using the bullhorn quick enough.
Listen, all you people, you can just eat me raw with a flavor straw.
Don has had a head injury.
I'm doing more work here right now than you've done in your entire life. I'm an air traffic freaking controller.
And you've just been sent into a new airplane cockpit.
And not to mention the fact, yesterday Buzz assaulted me.
Damn near killed him.
Yeah. I am positive that I've had many, many strokes. I'm positive that the left side of my brain is dead now. And you're busting my balls about a button. Get out of here. Get out of here. That's a button I can handle. That's a button that hangs up on.
How's that new touchscreen working on hanging up on people? Is it working well?
It's fine now, Mike.
Because it looks like it doesn't necessarily always like chop them quickly.
No, I just got to get the right
rhythm.
The right rhythm, and I've got to work with Iron Finger.
Yeah, I'm waiting for your finger to go clean through the plastic.
Tell me about it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, turn down the radio. Be a pro. Yeah. Join the team.
Yeah, I have a question for you. I heard Rob A. on the radio this weekend. What radio show is he hosting or part of or whatever?
Rob, would you like to share that?
It's The Wedding Show.
The Wedding Show.
It's another the counterpoint.
It's another one of those infomercial shows.
It's great. It'll not only will tell you how to have a great wedding, we'll also get your colon clean.
Wow. Not Mike's show.
The Wedding Show.
Hello.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, phone scan here. Hi.
Hey,
Hey, just wondering, since I get all of my good scoops from you guys, is Jay Maynard still cool, or is that done now?
I think we haven't had Jay Maynard on. He's probably, his 15 minutes
Oh, the Tron
over.
Guy?
Yeah, he's cool.
Oh, you know, he might be a good follow-up. Tomorrow we have a follow-up with Bill Godwin.
Oh, it's good.
The guy that we had on the show the last time, I think 6 years ago, the guy that believes he's Jesus,
right.
Has homosexual sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just had all his teeth pulled.
So I'm sitting over here trying to make myself a strawberry shortcake suit so I can get some notoriety.
I've seen on the net, Don,
yeah?
That the new guy is, there's a site where they went to a Superman convention and just photographed older men in Superman suits. So I think that's the new Jay Maynard.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll follow up on the guy with the Tron suit at some point. I think the high point for him was after he was on our show, he was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel Live and did a very nice job, but he had a terrible head cold.
And that, if you remember, it was all downhill after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you for remembering Jay Maynard, though.
Hey, hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Okay, whatever.
Interesting greeting.
Hello, Don, and my show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, when you guys are on vacation, who is that guy that hosted your best of bit?
That guy would be Joe Ardinger.
Oh, I thought it was Joe Mama.
Hey, listen, you better apologize or we're giving out your phone number, dummy.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right.
Now,
and your mother?
She's a whore.
And what town does she live in? And I'm quoting Ron Burgundy now. What town?
Whore City?
No, that's right, Whore City. That'll work. Okay. Thank you. You're safe.
Proper remorse rendered.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I guess.
All right.
Now we just got to give away a prize. Okay, last caller. It'll be right here. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, you called Tony Stewart a jerk, man. NASCAR cleared him today of everything.
Hey, dude, listen, I'm a Tony Stewart fan.
You didn't call Tony Stewart a jerk.
Yeah, I did. But
did you call Tony
in a loving way?
Well, I don't remember it being presented that way.
Well, he is kind of a jerk. I mean,
why you like him?
He only had to wait like 10 laps and he would have passed all those dudes. How many races this year has Tony Stewart just done that thing where they say, oh, he just got up into him a little bit, he just bumped him a little bit?
Want to have a little fun? Hey, sir?
Hey, yeah.
Did you hear that rumor about him being gay?
Yeah, and the shaving his legs commercial isn't helping my cause out any.
Right. I thought it'd be more fun than that.
Yeah, he takes it real serious.
A little too serious.
Yeah. He takes it serious. I like Tony Stewart fine. I like him fine.
Okay. Well, I just
it's you I dislike. I have an intense dislike for you.
Bingo.
You did what?
I have an intense dislike for you.
Oh, well, I knew you would when I called, though.
Yeah, I mean, just don't take it too seriously. I mean, it's a bunch of cars going around a track.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
Oh, no.
All right. Settle down.
Oh, 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 oh.
See you in Whore City.
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, no. I thought that went well.
Bye-bye. Still looking just for one last call. Donna Mike, hello.
McCordy Limon.
We're getting very desperate now just trying to give away a prize to any of these lines. Hello, Donna Mike show.
Don, yeah, low pressure. You're right, Rob, low pressure.
McCordy Limon.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, look, I was calling to solve one of the mysteries left over from Pulp Fiction, and I heard you guys talk about a couple of weeks ago when you were asking about what's up with the Band-Aid on the back of Ving Rhames' character's
neck. That's still a relevant question for people that love Pulp Fiction.
Yes, and we'll take it. If you've got an answer, we'll listen to it.
Let me tell you something, man. That's a very prevalent problem in the African-American community. It's called clipper bumps. It's something that we get if you use a pair of dirty clippers, you get like these...
God, cell phones.
I hate cell phones that suck.
Cell phones.
He was talking about razor bumps, if we still have them on the line. And I guess African-American men are prone to them.
I still don't think that's the thing about the Pulp Fiction.
Nor do I.
No, I still think the best theory...
Rob, you got to grab headphones if you're going to be talking, because sometimes you can't hear when they're...
I think the best theory remains that that's how his skull was stolen, and
his soul was stolen.
No headphones would have fixed that. His soul was stolen, and that the soul was in his suitcase.
Okay, everybody shut up. Everybody shut up, including you. What's your name, my friend?
It's Victor.
Victor, where are you from, Vic?
I'm from D.C., man.
Right on, Vic. Okay, thank you for listening. Vic, you got 6 Feet Under, the Season 2 DVD box set. That's a 5-disc box set from HBO Vudio. And you won tickets to go see your last place, Baltimore Orioles, play the 9 games out, if we're counting our system.
Yeah.
A first place Boston Red Sox. Orioles Red Sox tickets July 26th in Baltimore, and your Orioles tickets are courtesy of Comcast SportsNet. Enjoy it.
All right. Thank
you for listening.
All right, fellas.
All right. Hold on a second. Thanks. We'll be back. Now, when we come back, Boy, you know, we never got to Joe Reed and Clinton's book. I want to start with that.
I am looking forward to that.
And also a guy. Ooh, let me see the guy. The story with the guy. Tomorrow we're having the guy on who stiffed
Hello?
Us. Hey, BA.
Hey.
Tomorrow we're having the guy that stiffed us from the ESPN World Series of Poker.
Okay.
Dutch Boyd.
He slept through the interview.
What?
He slept through the interview.
He slept through the interview.
You know those poker lifestyles.
But
he's up late and up late.
All right, so run this one by me, B.A. Next, it's a guy who is on the show The Casino on Fox.
The reality show, yes. He was the card counter, Big Chuck.
Big Chuck. Oh, he's the guy that got in trouble on the very
right.
first episode.
Oh, damn it, I wish I'd seen that.
You know, Mike, here's all you need to know.
Okay.
He was counting cards.
Right.
And they caught him.
Okay, all right, good,
that's
good.
That's all you need
to know. I love The Casino.
Thanks.
Okay.
Oh, she hung up.
You know that guy... That guy was right about me and that thing.
Oh, my God.
The guy was right about me and that thing.
What's the problem between the brain and the hand? The brain and the hand.
Hey, Don. What's the problem between your brain and your hand? Working the blue horn.
The blue horn.
That brings it full circle. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey. You guys had shirts on when you came in here.
There's something happened to him, man.
Come on, Spicoli, just put the shirts back on. You see that sign?
No shirt, no shoes, no tie.
Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
Right, that's for
Joe.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is for me.
It's the sacred time. The time for Don and Mike.
Right. All right, our man Joe Ardinger.
Hey.
World's oldest phone screener. Not only is he a great employee, a great musician, a great host for the best of.
And a general all-about man-about-town thing.
He's a great reader.
He reads.
He loves to read. He loves to be read to. And most of all, he loves to read for others.
He does.
Hi, Joe.
Howdy. I'm a foppish bon vivant as well.
Joe.
And,
Joe Arnger.
Does a killer British accent.
Yeah. He won't be reading with a British accent, will he?
He might, Mike. What was your lobster's name again?
Buck.
Buck.
Buck. Thanks for going back to that.
Yeah, nice.
Well, the book that's been selected is My Life by Bill Clinton. Now, why go out and spend $40 on this book?
Yeah, when it can be read to you and you'll understand it in an even clearer way by having Joe read to you than you would if you read it yourself.
Now, when we were on our summer vacation, I actually took a couple days and read all 900 pages.
Bullhorn.
Bluehorn. Boy, does this book stink. It stinks like yesterday's socks.
Aww.
It's so boring. But there are some good passages. There's also lots of big words and lots of dignitaries' names that will be impossible for Joe to figure out.
Well, we'll figure that out.
We've selected a part. I've selected chapter 49 to begin because it's the good part. Where Bill Clinton talks about his affair with Monica Lewinsky.
Ladies and gentlemen, reading My Life by Bill Clinton, here is Joe Arden.
Joe, the only thing that we'll request, as far as direction goes, is I think one of the last times you read on the show, you were reading from the Bible. And because you felt strongly about the product, you actually sold it.
Right.
Just read.
Okay.
Okay. Now here with My Life by Bill Clinton, here is our own
Joe
Ardinger.
On Saturday morning, August 15th, with the grand jury testimony looming and after a miserable sleepless night, I woke up Hillary and told her the truth about what had happened between me and Monica Lewinsky. She looked at me as if I had punched her in the gut, almost as angry at me for lying to her in January as for what I had done. All I could do is tell her that I was sorry and that I had felt I couldn't tell anyone, even her, what had happened. I told her that I loved her and I didn't want to hurt her or Chelsea, that I was ashamed of what I had done, and that I had kept everything to myself in an effort to avoid hurting my family and undermining the presidency.
Right.
And after all the lies and abuse we had endured from the start of my presidency, I didn't want to be run out of office in the flood tide that followed my deposition in January. I still didn't fully understand why I had done something so wrong and stupid. That understanding would come slowly in the months of working on our relationship that lay ahead.
All right, now, Joe, if you wouldn't mind.
Now, that was marvelous. I don't think there was a mistake in there.
Well, it was not. We will simply open to page 344.
Is that about Foreign Affairs?
Don't know. I do see the name Michael Dukakis.
Very good.
If you will start where the check mark was made. Now, back to my life, Bill Clinton, as read by
Joe.
Joe.
Unfortunately, while things were looking up for me, they weren't going so well for Mike Dukakis. George Bush had given a marvelous acceptance speech at his convention, offering a kinder, gentler Reaganism and telling us to read my lips, no new taxes. Moreover, the vice president's kinder, gentler approach didn't extend to Mike Dukakis. Lee Atwater and company went after him like a pack of rabid dogs, saying Mike didn't believe in pledging allegiance to the flag or being tough on criminals. An independent group with no overt ties to the Bush campaign ran an ad featuring a convicted killer named Willie Horton.
All right, give me the book. Give me the book. I've got to find a harder part. You're impressing me today.
Something with Russians and Afghanis.
Give me a moment, Buzz. God knows I poured through this goddamn thing. Ay, ay, ay.
You know, and here's how you know it's not fake, folks. Mm-hmm. You know, we're gonna get to Joe when we get to the tough parts, but right now he's acing it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just doing what I'm asked.
This is true.
You are.
That's absolutely true. That's what makes it special.
I know what it's like. It's okay. Oh, my goodness. Well, now, these are all names he'll be able to get, though. Where's the... Oh, let me go to the part with Sadat. Hold on a second. You know, what am I doing? Just pick any page.
Yeah, go random.
Yeah, right here. Just pick it up. I don't know. Right around here. Just pick it up there.
All right.
What page number is that, Joe?
From page 643 of My Life by Bill Clinton.
Joe.
Besides, we simply couldn't stand aside and let Mexico fail without trying to help. In addition to the economic problems it would cause both for us and for the Mexicans, we would be sending a terrible signal of selfishness and short-sightedness throughout Latin America.
This is working better.
There was a long history of Latin America resentment of America as arrogant and insensitive to their interests and problems. Whenever America reached out in genuine friendship with FDR's good neighbor policy, JFK's Alliance for Progress, and President Carter's return of the Panama Canal, we did better. During the Cold War...
Okay, hold on. You're doing too good again.
Yeah.
Hold
on. He ramps up there. You got to catch him by surprise.
You're doing too good. Hold on. I'm seeing a bunch of names.
I like politics.
Do you?
He does. He's well read on the subject, actually.
Okay.
You said that, Buzz. His weed mate.
There you go.
All right.
And what's the page number we're starting on, Joe?
From page 708
Joe.
Of My Life by Bill Clinton. On the 24th, I was back home, but not out of Foreign Affairs. Ah, here we go. President Elias Harawi of Lebanon was at the White House at a tense moment in the Middle East. In response to a barrage of Katyusha rockets fired into Israel from southern Lebanon by Hezbollah, Shimon Peres had ordered retaliatory attacks that killed many civilians. I had much sympathy for Lebanon. It was caught up in the conflict between Israel and Syria and was full of terrorist operatives. I reaffirmed America's steadfast support
for the UN
Security Council Resolution
4.5. Very good. You're doing great.
Independent Lebanon.
You're doing great, Joe.
You're doing great.
And it's just it's good on so many levels. Joe's reading well. We're being entertained.
It's
just a special segment. I mean, I know when you brought this up last week, I said to myself, this is just going to be fun.
Yeah. All right. Now here's some more with him. With Clinton talking specifically about Monica. So we'll go back to that, even though Joe seemed to read that well. Joe, what page are we on?
From page 802 of My Life by Bill Clinton. I finished the testimony at about 6:30, 3.5 hours before I was scheduled to address the nation. I was visibly upset when I went up to the solarium to see friends and staff who had gathered to discuss what had just happened, including White House counsel Chuck Ruff, Dave Kendall, Mickey Cantor.
Hey, Joe.
Rahm Emanuel.
Joe, now that you're reading this part, can you read it a little sexier?
James Carvel, Paul Begala, and Harry and Linda Thomason. Chelsea was there, too. To my relief, at about 8, Hillary joined in. We had a discussion about what I should say. Everyone knew I had to admit that while I had made awful mistake and had tried to hide it. The question was whether I should also take a shot at Star's investigation and say it was time to end it.
Okay, give me the book back. Find another good part. I love it when you read. Yeah. Boy, do I love it when you
sailed
read.
Right through Solarium. Did you know
Solarium? He didn't even blink.
Okay.
Yeah. What a guy.
All right.
A fantastic job you're doing today.
And we're running out of time here, so let's go to...
You're educating millions of people.
Read a passage here, and then we can end this segment.
From page 817 of My Life by Bill Clinton.
Joe.
I'd like to try something different here, if we may. Read it as fast as you can. Out loud.
Yeah. On Monday, I felt we were making headway again. I kept pushing Netanyahu to give Arafat the benefits of peace, the
Faster.
Land, the airport, the safe passages between Gaza and the West Bank, the port of Gaza,
Faster.
So that he would be strong enough to fight terror.
Faster.
I pressed Arafat not only to increase his efforts on security, but
Sexier.
To call Palestinian
Sexier.
National Council together
Sexier.
To formally... fast and sexy?
All right, just read it with your British accent.
Ah! But to call the Palestinian National Convention together to formally revise the Palestinian Covenant, excising the language calling for the destruction of Israel. The PLO Executive Council had already renounced their provisions, but Netanyahu thought Israeli citizens would never believe that they had a partner for peace until the elected Palestinian Assembly voted to delete the offensive language from the charter.
All right, hold on. Now, if you give me the book, this will be your last challenge.
He's aced that British accent, hasn't he, Mike?
I think he's done a fantastic job on everything everything we've asked of him today.
Mm-hmm.
It's been absolutely incredible.
And it's Monday.
I think...
I want to jump out a window when I hear that British accent.
That we should ask now for the last little bit here. How about an Italian accent?
All right.
Hey. All right, Joe.
Don't look at me. I'm not helping you here.
Here you go. All right, Joe.
Joe.
Okay.
Ready? Can you find your center for this? Did you find your inspiration?
No, no. To the listeners at home, see if you can distinguish between the British accent and the Italian accent.
After the committee vote, Hillary and I flew to the Middle East. We had a meeting and dinner with Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Wow.
Lit candles on a menorah for Hanukkah and visited Rabin's grave with his family.
Italian accent, we're listening.
Madeleine Albright, Sandy Berger, Dennis Ross, Hillary and I helicoptered into densely populated Gaza to cut the ribbon on the new airport and have lunch with Arafat in a hotel overlooking Gaza.
Ah! Okay. All right, Joe. That's all for today.
Bravo, Joe.
Thanks for that for today. Thank you, Joe.
Nice job.
I believe that tomorrow we'll have Joe come in from time to time. We'll pick another brief segment of the book.
Just brief.
And Joe can read not only in his own Joe accent, but think of all the crazy European...
Russian?
Yeah. For goodness sakes.
French.
Iceland.
Icelandic.
Hispanic accent.
Yeah. Scottish.
Yeah. German.
Russian.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I'd like to have a sightline with Mike when he does an Irish accent.
Irish. Yeah. You might get the sightline as I'm springing towards his throat.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe. And again, the name of the book you were reading today was?
My Life by Bill Clinton.
And you are?
Joe Ardinger.
Man at large.
Excellent job.
A foppish...
Bon vivant.
Bon vivant.
Bon vivant.
Bon
vivant. There he is, everybody.
Joe Ardinger.
Wow.
Joe
Ardinger.
There he is.
He just gives and gives and gives.
We just blew off the guy from the Fox Show Casino.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Me, I could listen to Joe Reed all day.
Amen.
Is this the guy right now?
Probably.
Think it's him?
Tell him we overslept.
Boy, this will be the second time we're bumping this guy. Yeah, who wants to let him down?
Oh, let Rob do it. Rob's good at it.
All right, Rob, go ahead. Hello?
Oh, is this Beth Ann?
Oh, it's Beth Ann.
Oh,
put her on hold.
Hit it off at the pass.
There you go. All right, hold on. What does she want? Hey, hi, B.A.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah? Who's going to let him down? I have a number here.
If he can count... 5 decks of cards, you shouldn't have any trouble counting to the 2 times he's going to be bumped.
Oh, come on! I mean, he's been so great.
He's a felon.
He's not a felon.
Listen, we'll see if we can squeeze him in another day this week. This is Beth Ann.
Yeah.
This is a good problem. when we have two, we went from being a show that had no guests,
right,
to now we have too many guests.
That's the kind of tough situation we like to have. That's good.
That's a good problem.
Okay, so I'm not going to tell him that the reason we're bumping him today is because Joe read.
No, not at all. And Beth Ann,
mm-hmm.
You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Listen, don't get personally attached to these people. They mean nothing to you.
No, I mean, when he beat it over your baby.
No. There's no, you have no personal connection to this guy, whoever he is. Okay?
The Artie.
Hello?
She's gone.
I'm here,
Okay, all right.
All right, that's, you're doing a good job.
Be strong.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye, B.A. Bye-bye. She is so worried.
She's doing a great job. She really is.
Yeah. Pat?
She'll settle in.
Hello, Pat?
Hi.
Pat. Yes.
Hey, I just wanted to compliment Joe on being so very well spoken.
He is well spoken.
Okay, there you go. Let's go to Buzzy here.
In a world where like on the radio
what is called
one
today.
Man found a way to bring good news
he's
to
so
his
well
people.
Spoken, Buzzy.
He made it up.
Hey, you still there, Pat?
Yes.
Yeah. Hold on, we'll give you a prize. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Buffalo.
Right on, WB. UF, you're going to get the second season of 6 Feet Under on DVD, a five-disc box set from HBO Video. Thank you for listening. You made us laugh. Hold on a second.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and the comments today?
Today, National Treasure nearly killed by newsboy. No, actually, it's is it possible this year's presidential election might be postponed?
Oh, yeah, we've heard about this, too. Right, okay.
Stay tuned for news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, that was very
professional.
Joe.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show. Keep the secret, my precious love.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, here we go with news and comments with my friend Guy Burnley. Yeah. I thought he was my friend till yesterday.
Sorry about that.
Brought to you by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break, revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Tomorrow on the show, Dutch Boyd from the ESPN World Series of Poker. Bill Godwin, Beth Ann is still dying to get that guy on the show, the guy from the casino.
Yes.
On Fox. Wednesday, we'll have the losers from The Amazing Race. And Thursday, a wrestler's coming in.
Very good.
So how about that? Now here's Crash Elston.
Hi, Don and Mike. If you've seen Fahrenheit 9/11, you may be skeptical about the color-coded terror alert system. And maybe it's just as well, because the terror level has not been raised, even though officials say we're ripe for an attack on Election Day. They say they half expect an attack, even though they have no information specifically to support that theory.
And not only on Election Day, but also as no respect to the Orientals.
Right.
No disrespect to Orientals.
Like Bill Parcells would say.
Right. And we still got, you know, the
somewhere
thing is,
on the system.
So
I got two guys showing paper.
For him to get into the point where he says no disrespect.
Right.
Because they're going to try to get the upright.
I'll just prattle on here. I heard not only that, but it talk about the convention are in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect.
Disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays.
Right, thank you, Bill.
There it is.
Anyway, no disrespect to whatever it is. Erection Day. So it could be before November that they're thinking
they're,
out
they're this. Saying, you know, because of the Spain situation, mm-hmm. That's why they're saying this could happen.
And now, the rain in Spain
stays
mainly on the plane.
The plane, yeah. Now, with the president slipping in the polls, there's talk of postponing this fall presidential election.
I see London.
I see France.
I see Buzz's lack of
underpants. Milk.
Lemonade.
Round that corner.
Something is made.
There we go. You guys and your poetry.
Of course.
There's talk of postponing this fall's presidential election to avoid terror trouble. The Homeland Security Office, created by the president.
I won't be shackled. Fudge is made there.
Yeah! The Homeland Security Office, created by the president, is asking government lawyers if that postponement would be possible, especially if it turns out to be necessary. The office is also asking Congress to give it emergency powers. The Homeland Security Office wants emergency powers to postpone elections in the event of national emergencies.
Are emergency powers like superpowers?
Very much so, yes.
And this whole thing is nutty, isn't it?
It's a little scary.
And that's where you start thinking the wag the dog thing?
Mm-hmm. You think, you're slipping in the polls, why not postpone it, you get an extra month?
Sure.
turn things around.
If you change the date, you're still going to have to let the nation know what the date is so that they'll turn out. Or will they?
Yeah.
Surprise. You should know within, as long as we let people know within 8 hours.
Surprise. You just wake up in the morning, today's election.
It's the election day. Get out there and vote. Oh, sorry, you missed it.
Buzz and Marcia sitting in a tree.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
I just got more poetry going through my head.
There'll be a lot of praise for the late president.
First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes 100 cats in the baby
bear. Well, I'm barren. There'll be a lot of praise for the late President Reagan at the Republican convention this year, but you'll be hearing his name at the Democratic convention as well. In fact, if you were to actually watch the Democrats' convention, you'd see Ronald Reagan Jr. pushing an idea the Republicans want no part of, stem cell research. That's the new science that might have saved the late president's mind from Alzheimer's in his final years, and maybe somebody in your family.
Ron Jr. sure does look to me like he might like that My Little Pony shirt.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Like he'll be wearing the pink hat, the pink shirt, the My Little Pony t-shirt.
Like my metrosexual son does.
Now to the George Bush Republican Party, the party's against that, because the needed tissue for stem cell research is drawn from human embryos. Ron Reagan Jr. won't speak against the president in his appearance before the Democrats, but
it is what I like to refer to as devil science.
He will push
the
research.
It's devil science.
Yeah.
It's science from Satan.
You know, they're both dumb in this regard with the campaigning.
Right.
Yesterday I saw the obligatory shot of Kerry and Edwards throwing the football.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then they had Bush, and just somehow he manages to look goofier. They're having a T-ball game at the White House yesterday with Cal Ripken. And Bush comes out with the jeans that...
It doesn't look like he should wear jeans.
You know, they're dungarees. They're not jeans. They're dungarees. And they go up way too high, almost to his breast line. He's a young man, and he's got on the short sleeve, button-down shirt.
the Denny's manager shirt?
Yeah, and it's just, you look at it, and you just go,
stop trying to be human.
And meanwhile, did anybody see Kerry and... the other guy on 60 Minutes last night?
I did not see Kerry and Edwards. A lot of people did. It was the number one show of the night.
Say the wild card in this is Kerry's wife.
Yeah.
This is one crazy, I don't know what country this is.
She is kind of crazy, and she is a wild card. That's what they say.
And she is a she-male. as far as she has very masculine features.
Right.
Not that Edwards... he's going to be a Victoria's Secret model anytime soon. But she, her name is Teresa Hines Carey.
Mm-hmm.
And they would ask her opinion, and I'm telling you, she speaks like with a Zsa Zsa Gabor accent.
Yeah, she's not from the... She's from South Africa, right?
And it did look like...
Not necessarily South Africa. She's from Africa, I believe.
It looked to me like Edwards, who still is a hyperactive poodle, mm-hmm. was doing everything he could do to stop her...
What she means is...
Yeah, Mike.
What she means. She didn't really mean that.
Well, it is my job to... Here's one of the things...
Hello, darling. Blah, 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 blah.
It is the spouse's job when the ego gets too big, when they think they are doing a good job, to bring it back down. And then when they think that everybody is against them, it is the job to bring the ego back up.
To lift the ego up.
Meanwhile, Kerry's just sitting there, you know, like he always does. And Edwards is over on the other side, and he's doing exactly what you said.
What she means is, you know, it's good. Again, pep talk. Pep talk over.
I want to see more of this Teresa Hines Kerry.
I think she's going to be a breath of fresh air. I think it's going to be, and you know what's great about it is I think all the party operatives are a little bit nervous, and nothing bad with that. No, nothing wrong with that. Ralph Nader won't get elected, but he's still in the race, and he could still draw votes from Kerry, and he gets a lot of money for his efforts from rich Republicans. 1 out of 10 of Nader's biggest contributors usually donate to the Republican Party, according to Newsweek. A big contribution is considered to be anything $1,000 or more. Now, as a group, Republican donors have given about $50,000 of the $1 million that Nader has raised. Quoting Nader, they're humans, too. It's unfair to stereotype.
Oh, God.
He's a good-looking man.
He is.
I just want to point that out. After all these years, he still is a good-looking man.
Yeah, you're
Ralph Nader.
Well, you know, here's the deal. If the election doesn't go well for him, he can always go to work for Sirius Radio. No problem at all.
Nothing quite like spending the night in Milwaukee on an airplane, on the tarmac, in coach,
Yeah, hey there.
155 passengers on a United flight to Chicago arrived in Milwaukee Saturday morning, arrived in Chicago, their destination, Saturday morning by bus after their little airline slumber party in Milwaukee.
Yeah, hey there. Welcome to Milwaukee.
Flight 256 was supposed to have arrived at Chicago at 10 p.m. on Friday, but weather, as it so often does, forced the plane to land in Milwaukee instead.
Yeah.
But there was only one gate big enough for the 777 aircraft, only one gate at the Milwaukee airport that could handle that.
Wow, that's a big plane.
And
there.
It was already occupied by an Air France jet. Why didn't they move it? Well, the jet couldn't be moved because, according to FAA rules, the crew had been on duty too many hours already. They couldn't even repark the plane.
Yeah.
Cheese in the turbine.
Hey, everybody.
Go, Pack, go!
There's Brett Favre.
That's great to Milwaukee.
The passengers were allowed off the plane at 5 a.m., and given a free round-trip domestic ticket.
Isn't that sweet?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Why don't you check out the Brewers while you're here?
Your significant other may go all CSI on you. Maybe they already have. The company making the Checkmate 5-Minute Fidelity Test say they're selling 1,000 kits a week in New York alone. The product hit the market about a year ago. It's a way for people to prove if their significant other is having an affair. You use the kit to test stains on underwear and bed linen.
I don't think that's fair.
Purple means semen has been detected. Send the sample to another company, and they'll tell you if it's from somebody else.
Watch it, Buster. We got an FCC breathing down our neck.
Okay? I know.
Watch it with that S word.
That was just one time and a scientific context.
It's scientific.
Want to hear me say that word again?
I know.
On the air.
Another word will come to you.
Well, why don't we just refer to it from now on as the purple stain?
All right. Retailers say their customers are mostly men, often wealthy, often straight, but sometimes gay, and that women are buying the kits as well, especially for use when their husband brings home dirty laundry from a business trip.
So more men than women are buying them?
That seems to be the case.
What's the point of that?
Hello.
I just heard somebody come home from a business trip.
Yeah, you're right. There he is.
Executive.
Hold on. This is one that's still on the old tape.
Hello.
There he is. There's the executive.
Men are buying them to see if they find purple stains at their house when they get home from a business trip,
wow,
for example.
Right.
Now, women who want to protect themselves against the AIDS virus may someday keep a lemon juice-soaked sponge handy.
You're soaking in it.
An Australian scientist has discovered that lemon juice kills the AIDS virus in 30 seconds in the lab.
On the lemons.
And now, in Thailand, 400 men and women will use products soaked with lemon juice that also apparently kills syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia.
I used to watch you wash yourself. Somebody call Baltimore.
Why do you use lemons?
The fish smell, I'm embarrassed.
Oh. I thought maybe it was for some other reasons that I didn't understand.
I thought maybe you're washing your boots with lemons because you wanted to wash the AIDS off.
Oh, the lemons.
I went to a supermarket to look at lemons.
Lemons.
It's just to get the smell off. It's nothing weird. What do you do when you watch me?
Hey.
I look at you.
I look at you.
You take off your blouse when you're in the water. And you take a bottle of gold perfume when you put it on the sink.
Yeah.
And you slice the lemon.
Bert Lancaster.
Get out of my house.
Yes, he did.
Get out of my house immediately. Yes. You know, that's back in a land long ago, far, far away.
Yeah, but it was good.
Bert Lancaster.
The Utah State Supreme Court has okayed the use of the hallucinogenic mushroom known as peyote for members of a church of Native American Indians.
Where's this happening, Buzz?
In Utah.
Utah. See, when's the next flight?
The I hope I get this right. Oklahoma Earthwalks Native American Church.
You'll learn it soon enough.
Oklahoma Earthwalks Native American Church has 200 members who use the peyote buttons as part of their religious ceremony.
And here's a word from one of them.
Fresh corn on the cob is irresistible, especially at Safeway's low prices. This week we got Washington grown, Canada number one corn on the cob. Value priced at 3 cops for 88 cents. Doing it right. Sorry about this. I didn't know it was.
He's an Indian, yes.
And
goddamn Whitey produced fucking commercials never come out the right way. Okay. Safeway's got everything you need. It's 88 cents for the corn. Uh-huh. And everything you need for a super summer barbecue. Charcoal, starter, napkins, and paper plates. At Brockett Safeway.
Brockett Safeway.
He didn't like the Brockett Safeway jingle.
He did not.
Whitey produced.
Didn't like the donut.
So these Native Americans in Utah can now use their peyote in their religious ceremonies. The DEA classified peyote as a controlled substance in 1970, at about the time peyote was discovered by drug-experimenting young people in bell bottoms.
Joe.
Ruling for freedom of religion, the state Supreme Court now says all of them have the right to use it, including their founder, who faces a string of criminal charges over peyote possession. According to the church's lawyer, it confirms that individuals can still rely on the courts to protect them from the incredible power of the state.
Michael Elston and his Buzz Burbank.
He read that story with a great deal of joy.
Hey, let's pass the peace pipe.
Buzz, we got a break. What's next when we come back on the news and the comments?
Consumer Reports, is the Cameron Diaz topless video worth the money?
Hmm. Oh, okay. This was the video that we watched last week on the show with the free preview,
we
right?
We saw a little preview of it. Should you buy it? I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did she say do that?
Hey, buddy.
There can be only two people on the entire freeway. No matter what, you're behind the guy that's paying more attention to his cell than all the stuff happening around him. You know, the OnStar, all you have to do is push the white dot button right up there next to the OnStar button and start talking.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free and voice-activated wireless phone that is built into all OnStar-equipped vehicles.
So you program all of your numbers in and give them name tags. See if you can guess what the word is that I've chosen for my wife.
Wingnut.
Hey, are you spying on me?
Hey!
OnStar Personal Calling has better reception in areas where there's limited range. Not only is it hands-free, it's always there, and it works a lot of times when the cell phone doesn't.
OnStar Personal Calling has better reception in areas where there's limited range. It's fantastic. Did I just say what you said?
You did. Hey, OnStar, how about me? OnStar Personal Calling. Go to OnStar.com.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thanks for listening, Chief. It's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, Chief. Oh, I'd love to dance with anyone that will dance with me. Hey, Rob. That's always you, isn't it, buddy?
I just saw Fez Watley walk in the building, Mike.
Hi, Fez!
Hi!
I should point out, if you're listening to us on WJFK or Live 105 or 1010 The Buzz in Tampa, our friends Ron and Fez will be on tonight. Please listen to their show.
Yeah, because they've been gone a while. We'll find out if they had any elective cosmetic surgery.
You know I just heard about those bastards?
What?
They were on a two-week vacation.
There you go.
Oh, man. Who gets 2 weeks off?
We do.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I forgot that. It's just people like screaming at us about our vacation.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but it's just, it's forgotten when, you know, Ron and Fez got two.
They did.
Anyway, we miss them and they're back tonight. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. If you still plan to plunk down the $40 for the topless Cameron Diaz video, don't bother.
What if you've already spent the money?
Well, then enjoy.
What if I have a friend who's already spent the money?
I was glad to do it for you.
And you can both enjoy. This, according to this advice, this
what a great video.
This consumer tip that I'm bringing you is actually from Cameron's female co-star in the video.
We got some video for y'all, the Krubaki.
Russian model Natasha Catronio says the video isn't very sexy, and she says she doesn't understand all the excitement over it. Quoting her, it's funny to me. No genitalia, no touching. It wasn't porn. And she backs up Cameron's claim that the actress's signature is forged on the so-called release form.
Could I get a video with her just saying that? I'd like to hear her say that quote you just had.
Yeah. I think you can, as a matter of fact. Natasha says there was no release form to sign. So she says it must be a forgery.
On the video. We got some video.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
We got some video.
Perfect.
We got some video.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Video from Jerry Todd.
Video from Jerry Todd.
Jerry Todd.
Now, why Arnold Schwarzenegger was in his homeland of Austria over the weekend, an ugly scandal was brewing there involving priests, and pornography.
Oh. I say to everyone here today and to all Californians, yeah, my oath and you.
Arnold.
Californians.
Actually, to be more accurate, the scandal that unfolded while Arnold was in Austria involved priests in pornography. Today, Roman Catholic leaders in that country are having an emergency meeting to decide what to do. 40,000 photographs were downloaded on computers at a seminary about 50 miles west of Vienna. An untold number of videos were found on those computers.
Hi,
as well.
This is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow. And while some of the pictures were child pornography,
oh my,
much of it, the bulk of it, was young priests themselves, sometimes engaging in orgies with their theological instructors.
Oh my.
School officials have dismissed the photos as silly pranks that had nothing to do with homosexuality.
I was going to mention in that time today, remember last week I told you that Arnold was the official United States representative to Austria,
right,
when the president of Austria died?
Right. Right.
Somewhere, I've already thrown it away, had a quote from some news service where the quote was, I will be an Austrian until the day I die.
In my heart,
I will be an Austrian.
Well, that's cause for impeachment.
And then he went to visit his Nazi father's grave.
Oh,
I'm
my.
Not kidding.
Arnold, you're out of
trouble
now. I'm going to visit the grave now. How about those gay priests?
And I know that we're going back, way back in time. But wouldn't he be calling Isabel Sanford today?
Yeah, he would.
Yeah,
would
support.
Hello, Mr. Sanford. I wonder if I can get Isabel on board for the big campaign. Never too early to start raising funds for my election and stuff. And the thing is, and you what? When?
Oh my God.
That's video from Tom Monroe and his tribute to life in the big city.
Cherry Tot. I like Cherry Tot.
Cherry Tot.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh my God.
Okay. The family makes an outing to Walmart. Just inside the door, the kids scatter. Question: are the kids safe from child molester?
Oh my God, this freaks me a little bit.
A new lawsuit says Walmart doesn't screen its job applicants well enough to know if any of them are kid touchers. The lawsuit says Walmart still doesn't do this even after finding out that some of its employees have used their blue smocks for evil instead of good.
Oh my. So you mean there's some purple stains on the blue smocks?
That is freaky. The lawyer.
How many people bring their kids into a store and, you know, you kind of keep an eye on them,
right?
You know?
Yeah, but they scatter. They
right.
go, you know, different directions. The lawyer behind the lawsuit is representing a girl who was 10 when she was fondled in the electronics department by a Walmart employee. Walmart calls that an isolated incident, but admits it only does background checks on security folks and night clerks and managers. It says other retailers don't do more extensive checks either. The lawyer says he's now checking into that claim.
I love hugs. Hugs are great. Especially hugs from young people.
Hug me again from behind.
Come on.
Hi, little boy. Welcome to Walmart.
Hugs are great.
Guess what I've got on under this blue smock?
Isn't this exciting? What an exciting store to be in.
Send your problem child to boot camp or military school. Send the fat one to a school in Fresno. The Academy of the Sierras is America's first school for the fat. For $5,000, they'll take your portly 13 to 18-year-old if he or she is at least 30 pounds overweight.
Do not drink any alcoholic beverages.
Right.
Do not eat butter, margarine, oils, lard, or fat of any kind.
Gotcha.
Do not eat fried foods. Do not eat bread.
Okay.
Do not eat bananas, grapes, watermelon, or any fruits other than grapes,
all right, ladies. But that's what it'll be like for the kid there, learning for a year how to live a healthy lifestyle.
All right.
Care packages from home are prohibited. Is that a donut in your locker, freshman pile?
Brad, this is Legion Team. Would you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame please destroy my phone number?
Yeah.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut?
Little Billy.
And then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Go do your homework, son.
The medical journals in England are writing about a new device to help men last longer in bed. Mm-hmm. This particular ring is worn differently than the ones currently on the market and works in a different way. Without getting graphic, this one desensitizes as opposed to blocking anything.
Between two pillows.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
In clinical trials, men who have been lasting 40 seconds, guys who lasted 40 seconds went for nearly 9 minutes, and the device actually trains the user to be able to accomplish that eventually.
Why are you looking at me?
Without the
you
ring.
Always talk about it. Stop looking at me.
You talk about it quick. I thought the ring might be for you.
No,
commercial
no,
break.
No.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
I like it just the way I do it.
Finally, no ring has been invented yet to prevent the premature evacuation of a fireworks crew in New Jersey
you
over the weekend.
Premature evacuation. Gotcha.
That's right.
He's clever that way.
They just about finished setting up a display involving 5,000 pounds of pyrotechnics, and one of the shells, one that was supposed to be fired electronically, went off by itself.
Uh-oh. Get to know Charlie.
I'm real sorry.
And that set off the rest of the display.
Oh, no.
In the middle of the afternoon.
Whee!
And it lasted for an hour.
Oh, boy.
It was a 4th of July celebration, or supposed to be, that had already been delayed twice because of weather. Fire officials say the pyrotechnic guys were lucky to get out alive. Quoting one, understand, you have 4 seconds to get out of Dodge.
Right.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Beautiful body art.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No.
Yeah, that's
no.
Listen, we got to get out of here.
All right, good night, everybody.
I want to thank today, who's on the show? Oh, Mike White?
And Michael Wilson.
Mike Wilson, thank you. Website, www.michaelmorehatesamerica.com.
Penn Jillette.
Penn Jillette was on the show.
Right.
We blew off the guy from the Fox show.
Yeah.
He'll be on tomorrow along with the guy from the ESPN World Series of Poker and a guy from our weirdo Rolodex in the past, Bill Godwin.
Oh, he's a nut.
The guy who believes he's Jesus. Rob, how many years since we've talked to him?
Six.
About six. Wow. And Beth Ann really wants to work in that thing with the guy from the casino on Fox tomorrow.
Very good.
That's it. We got to go. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
Look at this purple snake.
Okay, good. Goodbye.
Let me get the door for you.
Okay.
Good night.
And that's it. Be safe. We'll see you then.
Okay? Watch between your ears.
Keep alive.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.